We could certainly try it that way. I'm not suggesting a way, really. It all depends on how people feel about it.
Well, we might be able to agree rather quickly in certain areas, like public works and public safety, yeah, planning, kind of focus. You know, the bottom line is the projects that have been made, the presentation, and then we have the senior/teen center is another issue that we need to decide. So we're probably going to have maybe six or seven items that probably would require a vote. I would imagine the rest of them would be pretty well agreed on.
Well, I think you're right. Yeah. And as I said, it's been done very smoothly before, you know, with maybe a little bit of variations. But I think you're right. We'll have a certain number that we'll all agree on right off the bat, I think.
And we'll have Roger's recommended priority list, which will help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll give you a starting point.
Thank you, sir.
That's right.
Okay. That's it. Thank you again for being here, everyone. We're adjourned. This will be the driveway. This is going to be problems. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Hey, it's good to see the chamber filled. Most of the meetings, except the last couple, you know, they haven't been filled. But it's good to have each and every one of you here. We're looking forward to hearing from you, those who want to speak. We do have one new applicant, if you will. And so that we'll hear that. And we'll have to hear the others, too. But let me ask this as we get started. The ones we've heard at length, you know, 2 weeks ago, if you want to go at length again, be our guest. But if you just want to maybe make a couple of comments to support what we've already heard, that would certainly be well also. So that we, you know, we're not here till midnight, but if we need to be here at midnight, we'll be here till midnight. But hopefully not. But the one thing we want to do, we don't want anyone to leave tonight with saying that they haven't had the opportunity to voice their opinion. Now, if someone has already said what you would say, you know, it's really no need to get up again and say the same thing. But we want everybody to be satisfied that they've been heard. We're not going to make any decisions tonight. This is not a voting night. And some have asked me that, and so that everyone knows. We're here to listen tonight. Now, the city has some projects, of course, on here that are city-instigated type projects, and we'll cover those first. Roger will cover those. And then we'll hear from the Cumbie Center, since they have a new application, if you will. And then we'll go through the ones that we've heard before, just a couple of weeks ago. And then if there are others, we'll hear those too. So that's generally how we want to go through. We try to be flexible, but we need some order as well as we go through. So as we get started, if you stand for us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Dear Lord, you're so good to us, to our community. We thank you so much for our citizens who work hard to make our community what it is and have over the years. We thank you for our citizens who are here tonight to voice their opinions and or support their projects. This is what makes Aiken so wonderful, that we work together, we help each other, we support each other. Now, it's not always we can get what we want, but at least we try the hardest we can, the citizens and the volunteers at work do their best. So tonight, Lord, we come together with a list of items. We'll talk at length about some of them, and others we'll just review. We pray that you would be with us and give us guidance, give us wisdom as we go through these items tonight. Help us to ask questions and help us to be good listeners tonight. And for all of this, we give you the honor and the glory for all the good that might come out of this meeting, Lord. And we want to do what you want us to do. In your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Mr. LeDuc.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tonight I'd like to go over some of the city projects to make sure that council understands these, because it's been a couple of months, and if there's any questions, we could certainly answer them. And I'm going to start with public safety. The first proposal was a new fire headquarters station. What we're proposing here is that we know that over the next 10 or more years, public safety has run out of room already. We're using the day room for some offices. So we are proposing to take the fire portion of the building where we have a couple of fire trucks, move those further to the north side of Aiken, somewhere probably up Lawrence Street near the bypass area. This would cover a greater area on the north side and actually be more effective for us in the future. And then the second item we have would be to renovate the existing headquarters. That would be putting in a floor in the bay area and converting that into office space and other space that would be needed by public safety over the next 10 or more years. The only other possibility we had was to go ahead and take public safety and create two building locations, one on the north side and one on the south side, and we felt that that was not really an effective way, and we would like to keep all of our public safety personnel together. The third item was to put computers in the vehicles. We already have right now over 20 of our vehicles that have a computer. This allows them to very quickly look up information that allows them to be a lot more effective in a traffic stop and a crime situation. And again, this would allow us to do so. The other three items that we had been proposed, but we do not have any money in the budget right now, was to have a sixth station somewhere on the northeast quadrant. Again, as the northeast area grows, we will probably need to have a station somewhere in that area. And when I say in the northeast, it's looking probably going down Pine Log Road to approximately where Richland Avenue intersects in that area. And we feel that in the next 10 years or more, that area will grow. At this point in time, until we see that growth, though, there's no reason to put this in the once on sales tax. We build a station, we are going to need a fire truck. And then the last area was the burn building. Currently, the burn building is used by all the fire departments within Aiken County for training. And again, although we feel like work is going to be needed, this needs to be shared, we feel, by all the various departments within the county, not just the city of Aiken listing it here. So that'd be a great item for the county of Aiken to possibly put within their 1 cent sales tax, and we'll let them know accordingly. Any questions on public safety?
Yeah, how many vehicles would add computers with the money that we have? 500,000?
About 30 or more, yeah. Each one, the last price we had in, I want to say, was between $16,000 and $17,000. By the time we go ahead, the computer itself is one component, but then you have to buy software licensing and do a number of things, and so it would purchase a little over 30 more computers.
And would that fully staff our?
Yes, our current staff that we have right now.
Okay. And it's my understanding, and you've said it before, I think, but just to make sure everyone understands, that we would start collecting this money around 2012, and it would go to 2018, 2019?
At least 2019, and it may be collecting it starting in, like you said, 2012 or 2013.
Yeah.
And it's for a seven-year period.
Okay, thank you.
Question. If the money doesn't get here till 2012, does that mean the procurement installation of computers and the public safety vehicles wouldn't begin until then?
What we have been able to do in the past, and that's an excellent question, if we see there's a project, and I feel like probably the one of the highest priorities I would place within all this listing are these computers, because again, we have in a number of vehicles, it's been very valuable. to us here at the City of Aiken in our crime fighting and in our enforcement efforts. We have in the past, when once the projects have been approved by the voters, that we have upfronted the money to get the project started earlier if we felt that that project was that important. The reason we don't do that on lots of projects is that we have to go ahead and either borrow the money from a bank or borrow the money from ourselves to get started, and therefore there is the interest lost by upfronting money earlier than the money is coming in.
Okay. Roger, in the first listing, you have the new fire headquarters station and then renovate existing headquarters station. These are not combined in terms of both of them headquarters?
The once you build a new fire headquarters station and you move the vehicles out of the existing building, you'll just have an empty area.
Okay.
And at that point in time is when our renovations would start. So it's you have to do one first and then do this next one second.
Okay.
And they could be separate projects. You can go ahead and build a fire headquarters and just use that as open space at that building and just put the kiosks up for a while if you needed to. Okay, the next grouping is on planning. Currently in the present budget, we have the 2004 referendum. We have $1 million set aside for open space acquisition, and we are saying that we would like to see another $1 million set aside, whether it's that acquisition of property inside the city, outside the city. It could be conservation easements. There could be a combination of how we go ahead and use that money in the future. But it presents green space or open space throughout our community for our citizens. The reason we deleted the second one is we've been able to get, in the last several years, funding from ARTS to do studies, planning studies. These were studies on Highway 19, Doherty Road, the north side. And as we continue to see needs for more studies within the planning of transportation, we could go ahead and get 80% of the funding through the state. And in the last couple of projects, 50% of the local match came from the county. So it really, if you have a $150,000 study and 20% of it is coming from local match, or $30,000, and $15,000 is coming from the county, it's a small amount of money in comparison to the large amount for the study itself. Under Parks and Recreation, we the number one project was the Southside Neighborhood Park. That $1.5 million would have purchased the land and would have allowed us to have some open playing fields out there. At this point in time, having Citizens Park and having a large 60-some acre facility on the south side, we're not certain if there's going to be a need within the next 10 years for another park somewhere on the south side. For the master plan that was developed in the last year, stated that a south side park should be looked into. We just feel that we have a little bit more time available before we go ahead and start looking at buying land and clearing the land for a park. Another thing you could always do is if you get a large tract of land in, and the only really large tract of land left on the south side would be between Powder House and Whiskey Road, you could always ask for a donation of X number of acres of land if you wanted to have something for a neighborhood park of a 20-acre size. The next four items concern Citizens Park. The first one was a playground. We have a small playground out there right now at Citizens Park 2. And again, how necessary that is at Citizens Park. We felt it was more important to get a walking trail around the park. We have money in the current referendum, $100,000, and by using another $200,000, we'll be able to complete a full walking track of approximately 2 miles in length. And we felt that was more important than having a playground out there. The lighting was on what we consider CP3. And let me get you through the phases. The first phase was the one that was built in the early 90s. It was a five-pod baseball complex. The second one was what was completed about 3 years ago. It was another five-field complex. Phase 3, or CP3, is the open playing field. Right now, a lot of that area is used for soccer and baseball practices. We had the Vietnam Memorial out there at one time. It could be used for other type of events. If we put lighting out there, it kind of defines a little bit more as to what that area could be used for. Because once you start putting poles out there, that pole may wind up in the middle of an outfield or in the middle of a soccer field in future years. So again, we put it as an important item because, again, it was in the master plan, but we felt at this point in time, not knowing what that future area is going to be or what the needs are going to be within the city. At one time, baseball was king here in Aiken. Baseball is still very important and a very major sport, but soccer has overtaken it. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 10 years as far as what are some of our needs are going to be. So that one was left out. The fencing is the replacement of a lot of our fencing that's currently out there and to provide a canopy over the area where our concessions are at one of the complexes. So that's where that funding is for. The Northside District Park, we have the major park on the south side. We are looking at somewhere in the near future, we'd like to go ahead and acquire 20 acres of land for a fairly good sized complex somewhere on the northern side of the city of Aiken. All we have currently are some smaller fields at Schofield, and that land is currently owned by the school district. We have joint permission to use that as long as it stays as open space. The agreement is we could use it at nights and weekends, and then the school district uses it during the day. But we're looking at trying to get something a little bit larger size. That area there is about 8 acres in size of what we utilize for playing fields. So this is money to go ahead and buy some property. The next item is the Eustis Park Senior / Youth Center. You can see that we originally proposed $3.5 million. If you decide that you want to have a center there, which would then become the senior center that would primarily be used during the morning and early afternoon hours, and then in the evening hours would be used more for a teen center, then that proposal would need to go back to $3.5 million. If you propose that all we're going to do is purchase the land and clear the land for open playing fields, then the $500,000 is enough money for that property. So again, it's a decision the council has to make. Do you go ahead and have the teen center at this location, or the proposal that was made to you a couple of weeks ago is to have the teen center at the proposed YMCA. The last item was to expand the farmers market. The master plan called for having some additional buildings where actually vehicles could park underneath it and sell the wares right out of the back of the pickup truck. And that would extend down towards Park Avenue. Again, as you can see, that was the proposal, and we did not include that in the final budgeted amount. Any questions on Parks and Rec?
Yes, Mr. Ledoux. In relation to the Youth Center, is now the appropriate time to discuss that with the Galaxy Center, or should we wait until later when that's brought up in the general projects?
Mr. Mayor?
Why don't we go through all of this list and then come back to that?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Or we could wait to talk to the Galaxy.
It might be better to wait till we get to the end of the list, because it is tied with the Galaxy, obviously, and I want to be sure everybody understands the relationship there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and like I said, it's either going to be one or the other. It wouldn't be both.
Right.
I have a question, Roger. Mm-hmm. The Citizens Park with the $1.6 million, and we've still got one, two, and three that we're working on. Did you say that we were eliminating the $100,000 for the playground equipment there? Is that for you today?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Roger, on the
youth center, the Eustace Park Senior Youth Center, the $500,000 that's in there for the balanced budget, is that for purchasing the property there beside Eustace Park?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. In the 2004 ballot referendum, we had $1 million in there to go ahead and purchase the property. And it's not was not just to purchase it, but purchase it and clean it up. And we have had very recent discussions within the last couple of weeks with the school district. Their biggest concern is where can they move to that would be in a logical location to serve the entire district. We gave them several different proposals, anywhere from I-20, Highway 1 area, down to the Will Run Business Park, which has land available. And so they're re-looking at some of those areas to determine where could they go. They looked at this about 3 or 4 years ago, couldn't find any suitable area. But we asked them to please look at this again because we are very interested in that property. If we took that property and wanted to keep, let's say, as open space, one of the things we probably would propose is keeping one of the buildings, one of the smaller buildings, and using that more as a neighborhood center where you can have meetings and small events, but not the big center, which I would go ahead and put more in line with what we have similar to at Smith Hazel. The next area is on public works. The first item is pretty self-explanatory, street resurfacing. These are our city streets. The next area is Whiskey Road improvements. We are trying to go ahead and put sidewalk and curb and gutter and landscaping similar to what we recently completed from the Armory up to Pine Log Road. That section's been completed. We have some grant funding that we'll be completing the area down towards Doherty Road. And as funding becomes available, this helps us to match other grant funding for additional streetscape work on Whiskey Road. Currently, there's $700,000 in the current 2004 referendum that we have used for some of the work that we're currently undertaking. Streetscape, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. We've used it. We've had two referendums with Streetscape on it. The results are what council has seen and the citizens have seen throughout the downtown area and the surrounding neighborhoods in fixing up the streetscape, whether it be with curbing or landscaping or irrigation. We have used a variety of things to go ahead and help with the streetscape work.
Roger, excuse me, can we let the audience know how much is being proposed for some of these items? For example, the resurfacing, and there's 1.7.
Okay, the street resurfacing was $1,750,000. That is what we had in the last two referendums. Whiskey Road, $700,000. That's what we had in the last one. $700,000 for streetscape. That's the same as we had in this past one. And this next one is Hitchcock Woods storm drainage. As most of you know, the area that's entirely encompassing the parkway system and then also the area throughout most of the Horse District, that all that water funnels eventually through Hitchcock Woods. If you have not had an opportunity to go through certain sections of Hitchcock Woods, there's an area called Sand River. Sand River is just as the name states. It's a river made of sand. And it's great because the sand, the water just soaks right in. But if you understand how sand operates, when there's a large force of water going through, it also erodes very easily. And so this area that probably was fairly shallow at one time has areas that are probably 60, 80 feet deep. That we need to go ahead and look at correcting. A lot of the work you see within the parkways right now on Park Avenue that we're doing work with the rain gardens is a start. We had $3.5 million in the last referendum for Hitchcock Woods drainage. This is another $4 million to go towards working with this. We feel that eventually we're going to need well over another $8 to $10 million in addition to this to eventually fix most of the problems in Hitchcock Woods, even though there's about seven different drainage systems that go into Hitchcock Woods, Sand River being the major one. So this is primarily concentrating on Sand River. And as I said, we could have easily put $8 million in here or $10 million, and that still would not have been enough to cover everything that's needed. So if you had money and you said this is an important project, that could easily go from $4 to $5 to $6 million.
Do you have a sense, Roger, of how much it'll take care of the Dibble Road? I understand that's getting to be pretty bad, although it's not as visible as Sand River.
The Dibble Road is at one time, if you'd seen it 15 to 20 years ago, there was a lot of erosion that we have filled in through gabions and other things. The problem is once it leaves underneath Dibble Road, it then turns to the right or turns towards the west area, and that's where you start seeing the erosion. And I don't, it all depends on how we're going to fix it. Are we going to fix it with some kind of hardscape being like a gabion type structures, or is it going to be a combination of trying to go with a more of a green infrastructure in there? There's just a number of ways that you could go ahead and deal with that erosion. But we do not have it right now, a price on what they would take. I don't know if it's going to take $500,000, $1 million. The initial project we did, I want to say, was it under $100,000, Larry, on Dibble Road? It went up higher than that. $150,000 is what Larry is saying. And that was a split of 40% county, 40% city, and 20% state.
But going back to my early comment, if we don't put something in here for Dibble Road, that means essentially we won't be dealing with it until 2018 or 2019?
Right now we're saying it's $4 million for Hitchcock Woods Storm Drainage. We're not saying how the money would be used. Again, it could be all Dibble Road, it could be all Sand River.
Well, that gives us a total of $7 million,
correct,
from what I understand.
$7.5 million.
Yes, to deal with.
And that's not enough from our estimates to deal with the whole problem. The whole problem, we feel, would be at least $14 million or higher. So again, if council wanted to put more money into this line item, we certainly could.
Let me ask a general question and a philosophical question, because I've not done this before. But if we're putting money in the project, how specific do we need to be with the voters in terms of what we're going to do with that money?
You could be as specific as you want. The more specific you are with the money, you cannot add any items to the list. You could always fund more items as you see funding becomes available. For instance, one of the items in the last list was B Lane. It's the alley right behind City Hall here, going up towards Richland Avenue. We have $200,000 in there for B Lane. If we use some money from the downtown tax increment financing district towards B Lane, and that'll be proposed to you at the next meeting, then we don't need to use all $200,000, and we can use that money for another project as long as it's on the list. So the more specific you are, the less you can move money around. If we said this, it was going to be Hitchcock Woods Sand River, then we could only use it in Sand River. If we said it was Hitchcock Woods Storm Drainage, then we can use it anywhere in Hitchcock Woods for storm drainage.
The $3 million that Hitchcock Foundation received, was that ARRA money?
That is correct, and that was received through the city.
Mm-hmm. And that's just for the streetscape projects that we were briefed on.
That has upstream money.
Yes.
Yeah. Not the downstream.
Well, I mean, I just raised Dibble Road because I'm sensitive to the comments that we've heard in the past that we need to do something to start controlling it, otherwise it's going to continue to get worse, and when it gets worse, it gets more expensive. So,
now, the last improvement we made on Dibble Road was made about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Roger, before we leave the Hitchcock Woods, let's just say to everyone that if you don't know the work that's going on in the parkway along Park Avenue, have you seen some of the construction, some of the equipment? That's intended, very, very basic here in general, is to take some of the water that is now flowing down into the woods and causing part of the problem to put it into the parks. There'll be these things called gardens or bioswales, and they have different terms. But we hope that perhaps 30% of the water that's now going to the woods will be kept out of the woods. In other words, it'll be seeping down into the ground through the park areas, And also, where cars park along the side of the parkways, the water will go down. That'll be changed too. There'll be some, some pore, either porous, or there'll be some kind of blocks there with the little space in between where water can go down into the ground. And this is a major project. And don't think it's been done not only in South Carolina, but we're told in other places in the country. And it's a wonderful project. For instance, one of the things is to take a 42-inch pipe that comes down Newbury Street and goes down into the woods and send it through the park system and captures much of that water that would stay in the park and then seep down. Sure, some of it will go into the woods, of course, but to get some of that into the soil before it gets to the woods. And this woods problem has been with us for many, many, many years. And we've had we tried many different things to solve it. And some of us have been on it for 20 years or more. Larry's probably one of them, Roger. And but this particular project looks like it's really going to help. And then if we can, and if it does, even more than we think, perhaps, we can cut that money that we need down in the woods to less money, in other words. So it's an exciting project, and you'll hear more about it. You've probably read a little bit about it in the newspaper. Okay.
The next item is for water, sewer, storm water infrastructure. This is more of a maintenance item than for new piping. We have $4.2 million currently in the 2004 referendum. We put $4.2 million in here. Now, one of the things Council talked about at Horizons was the fact that we are going to need to have a rate increase on water and sewer. Last year's, we were down about 10% in our revenues, so we fell short by about 10%. This year, because of the wet year we had, it appears we're going to be 19%. off if the revenues continue coming in and the expenditures stay the same. One of the things that Council may want to consider as we look at this particular item here, if we went a little bit higher in this item in the future years, then that helps offset the amount of money you may need for a rate increase in future years by allowing more of this money to be used for the maintenance of our system. If you follow what I'm saying, we will always have to replace sewer lines. We're always going to have to replace water lines. They're like our vehicles that, after a period of time, they just wear out. And it's like an older vehicle that gets 10, 20 years old. You have more repairs you have to make on it. Eventually, the repairs get to be so difficult, and you have so many of them that you have to replace those lines. Well, if we had more money available through the 1 cent sales tax, then that would go ahead and help artificially keep the rates lower. So if Council, right now, this is allowing over a 7-year period at $600,000 per year. It was at $800,000 or $900,000. That's that much less than we would have to rely on raising our water and sewer rates in the future. So again, that's something to keep in mind. You know, I'm giving you several items that you could actually increase if you wanted to. The next item.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I'm a little confused here. This is a capital projects list, is it not? I mean, should we be talking about using the capital projects list to keep sewer rates down? I mean, we have to.
That's what we did this last time. That's one of the reasons we're 50% below the state average, is because we've been using money that normally you would come from your utility customers to go ahead and maintain your system using some of the dollars here from the once in sales tax.
Oh, I'm this, I mean, help me out. capital projects to me is if you've got a program to build new sewers or even as we talked at Horizons, if we want to inspect the sewer pipes, piping systems, the water piping systems in the city, maybe we'll find that some are leaking. I'm sure a lot of them are leaking, and we'd save money that way. But I'm a little confused about the interface between the capital sales projects and using that money for water rates.
It's not water rates. Again, it's sewer replacing rates. Water and sewer lines.
Okay.
It's infrastructure.
So if you don't go ahead and replace your water and sewer lines with some of this money, then you're going to have to go ahead and get more of a rate increase in water and sewer rates on a monthly basis to get enough money in to replace
Or you would talk about getting money that you get from customers to do what we want to do here with this.
Correct.
With this list. Okay. So now, does this seem to you to be a sufficient amount? You're talking...
We could, certainly use more. Our infrastructure, like any system of our age, we are spending several millions of dollars every year on water and sewer line and storm drainage line replacement.
So that's $14 million then.
Roger.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm just interested in knowing how much more it would take to... how much more would we need to raise this in order that we would not have to raise the rates? Either way, the customer pays. They pay for the extra penny or they pay monthly.
We're always going to have, okay, right now, this past year, let me see if I can explain this. Every year in the past, we have set aside $1.2 million.
Okay.
For infrastructure replacement. And that, along with this increase, or the money that we have here, which again is $600,000 a year, if you take the 1.2 that we've been setting aside and the 600,000, 1.8 million that has been available to us for this infrastructure work. This past year, because we did not have enough money coming in, we did not fund any of the $1.2 million. So we fell behind $1.2 million. Larry and I just met for several hours this afternoon on projects that he feels are needed. And even with this money we have right now, we're not going to be able to meet all those needs. So that's one aspect of our water and sewer. On top of it, though, the county has raised the rates, I want to say in the last 3 years, like 25% for the treatment of the sewage. We have not passed that along. SCNG has gone up around 15 to 20%. They're talking, not talking, they have notified us that there's going to be a 6% rate increase this next year, 3 point some percent in July and 3 point some percent in January. So chemical costs are going up. So just if we look at all the other costs, even if we went ahead and put more money in here for infrastructure, there are always going to be eventually more rate increases. What I'm trying to do is keep those rate increases from being double digit to a much lower amount by putting more money in here.
While we're talking about the rates on water and sewer, let's make clear, and Roger, I don't know if you did this or not. I don't think you did, but we all know that we compare our rates every year with 31 or so other cities. And the last comparison we had, the city of Aiken was number 2 lowest on water rates
in the state.
In the state. We were number 3 lowest out of 32 now on sewer rates. So it's not like we've been raising taxes all this time on water and sewer by any means. So when we talk about an increase, you can see where we're starting from. Way down the bottom, low, compared to 32, 31 other cities. So I think that needs to be kept in mind.
And when the mayor states that, we are 50% below the state average. So if we looked at what the average rate for water and sewer was in the state, we're over 50% lower than that. When we looked at compared the New Wellingtons and the Jacksons and the Salutas and Edgefields and North Augustas, everybody around our areas to what their rates were compared to the city of Aiken. North Augusta came the closest, and they're 20% higher than we are. And that's what I'm saying. We have artificially kept our rates low, and it's finally caught up to us. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have some kind of an increase. But I'm, again, looking towards the future, saying if we want to keep our rates as low as we can, the more we could put into this account, the better off we'd be. I mean, I would feel a lot more comfortable if we could put $800,000 a year or $900,000 a year. So, again, that's just an area, if we're looking, where do we balance this? How do we increase things, decrease things? This is an area that certainly could use more money and would be helpful for all the consumers here in Aiken.
Just to make sure I understand what you said, you normally put $1.2 million in the budget as an estimate for infrastructure improvements, and you add to that money that comes from this program. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
And last year, that $1.2 million was pretty well eaten up by added costs that we weren't able to budget for.
It was more not added cost, but revenue loss, because there wasn't as much water sales.
Yes, but we also had the increases from the county.
That's correct.
And so forth. So to get us back on track, then, what I'd love from you is the number that to get us back on track. Mm. So you have that $1.2 million in the budget that's used for infrastructure, plus what you think you need for the next 6 years to keep the sewer system in good shape and repair where you need it. That's the number I'd like to get from you. If you think it's 900,000 or 800,000, whatever it is.
And I will have a new number for you at the next meeting.
Okay.
For that line item. All I can tell you right now is, and again, I just got the numbers from Kim Abney. We do know that last year we fell 10% below our budget for water and sewer. So we had a deficit of 10%. This year we're looking at closer to 19%. But again, I have not looked at those numbers to make sure. And that's fully funding the $1.2 million.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
I've got a quick question here, and apologize because most of you don't see what I see here. But it says balanced budget. If we increase any line item down here on the bottom, do we have to make an adjustment in that in one of the other areas?
If you look at the total amount at the very end of all the projects that I listed, it adds up to $34 million. We have available $38,600,000. Now, this does not take into account the projects you heard at the last meeting. So, again, just looking at the city-type work, it adds up to 34. We have 38.6, and by the way, that number I was able to get a pretty good confirmation from the county. We finally did settle on the formula and how much, and so I feel probably as confident as we can at this point in time that the revenue would be about 38.6 million from the city.
Mr. Ledoux, going back to our Horizons meeting, another conversation that we have had, we'd ask Mr. Morris to do us a study and look at the next future. We have sewer lines, and sewer is more important than the other because you can get plenty of help from other government agencies if we have a major sewer leak. But I think once he does that study, it's going to show us that we need a whole lot of money over the next 10, 15, and 20 years, and I don't think we should be short-sighted saying we're going to use this money to overcome our current issues of rates. And I think we need to look at the future 10, 15 years from now. We're going to have to be having a plan, which Mr. Morris is supposed to work up for us, to replace sewer lines, you know, on a so many thousand feet a year basis. Otherwise, we're going to get help from DHEC or somebody else.
Yeah, and in next year's budget, and you'll be getting that soon, there will be funding in there for what is called a sanitary sewer evaluation study, SSES, that primarily is looking at the inflow and infiltration coming in. You got inflow coming from the surface primarily through manhole covers and other areas like that, and then infiltration, you've got a high water table, got cracked pipes, and water's constantly dripping in or going through the joints. And so we'll be looking at that, and that's going to go ahead and come up with even more issues, I'm sure.
Yes, I agree. This number is small compared to what you need in the next 5, 10, and 15 years.
The next item is recycling roll carts. It was something that we talked about a couple of years ago, the convenience, and it actually would not save us a lot of money, but it would save us a little bit of money. Certainly would save some potential worker compensation claims where people could get back injuries lifting up those containers. We went to a roll cart system for our garbage a few years ago. It's worked out great. In fact, we just found out recently that our worker compensation claims in the past, we've been averaging in the mid-40s every year in the number of injuries we've had. Last year we had 18 injuries, lowest we've ever had, and a lot of that has to go with our safety program, but also the roll carts. But again, that would be a number that if you feel like that's a good program, we could always put that money back in here. The next item is sidewalks. You know, we talk about a wellness, healthy city. The one area that I probably get more calls over the year is on, can we have a sidewalk in our front, you know, in front of our house or in our neighborhood where we could do more walking instead of having to walk on the streets. I just listed a few areas that we know we would like to have sidewalks in and around several of the schools. Millbrook Elementary School, there's several streets there that have open ditches. And so the kids in the morning, the afternoons, they're walking up and down those streets. This is a very difficult area. Schofield Middle School, again, no sidewalks. A lot of people walk to that school. Aiken Elementary, Whiskey Road. I mean, you could go ahead and quadruple this number and probably not have anywhere close to enough money if you want to put sidewalks and start that program. And $500,000 is a drop in the bucket for putting sidewalks in, because most time you can't put them in there if you don't have a curb and gutter. You have to have that first before you put the sidewalk. So it's a combination of the two. And again, it's where does council want to go in the future with those neighborhood walkways? Any questions on Public Works? Last page. A resolution was approved by City Council about 3 years ago, jointly with the county and North Augusta. We had listed 10 major roads that we felt needed to have some improvement in the next 10 plus years. I probably can't remember them all, but that included University Parkway, the Northwest Bypass, Hitchcock Parkway, the Powder House extension going from Eastgate Drive over to Powder House, includes some work on Whiskey Road, Silver Bluff Road, the Pawnee Doherty area, and there's one or two more that I just can't think of at the moment. We listed here three projects of those, and the money that's here does not complete the projects, but it at least gets you moving forward, and the 30% of, say, $40 million. That would be $12 million. So this is a little higher than 30%, but not much higher. And you could certainly put more money in there. The Powder House Road Connector, we have $5 million. We currently have a little over $1 million. That was going to get us from Whiskey Road to a point where about 3/4 mile east of Whiskey, where you then have a parallel road to Whiskey going up towards Corporate Parkway and Centennial, where there's that business park, and South Aiken High School. $5 million might come close to doing that. To go get it all the way out to Powder House, though, we're talking about closer to $13 million or more. We're looking, though, that as that land develops, we'd get the developer to give us the land and probably form up some kind of transportation fee to help pay for some of that work. So this gets you started. The $3 million on University Parkway widening, this is between the hospital and USC Aiken. This is probably widening to at least a third lane, and in some lanes you might have two lanes northbound or two lanes southbound, depending on what the needs are, and a sidewalk. I mean, you think of where the university is at. We now have approximately, I think, 1,000 students on campus, And where would a student want to go? They like to do a lot of shopping and stuff. Unless they have a vehicle, getting down to like a Walmart or some other shopping area, you're walking along a very dangerous roadway. So we feel a sidewalk and the improvements on that road are very important. $3 million would get you started. Probably if you want to go to a five-lane section, which I don't believe you need currently at this point in time, you're probably talking more like $8 to $10 million. Hitchcock Parkway widening, it's probably more of a $16 million project. We have $4 million budgeted. That would give you some truck passing lanes on Hitchcock Parkway. That road is not going to be five lanes because it's a limited access. You have, according to the regulations the city formed up 30, 40 years ago, was there was going to be only a limited number of driveways on Hitchcock Parkway. So therefore, you don't need to have five lanes. Four lanes are going to be enough. And then you have turn lanes at just these intersections. So this would go ahead and start the engineering and give you some passing lanes as you're going up the hills with some of the buses and trucks and other things that sometimes you get stuck behind. And then eventually, as the traffic again continues to grow, maybe 10, 15 years from now, you may need to have the fourth lane throughout. So again, this is just partial funding on all three projects.
And then you have a list of other projects that could be added?
That could be added, absolutely.
Will that be in the packet next time?
I wasn't planning on putting it there because I...
Just one or two of them?
Any particular two that you would
No, I don't know what's on the list.
Okay.
I mean, my focus is, if you can gather, is the capital projects.
I can list all of them and put you some dollar amounts and put a zero then on the right-hand column.
And even the monies here still need, as you point out, they still need more money. Now, some of that is in the arts system?
Correct. We're looking at arts and other funding. You know, we're still looking at the State Infrastructure Bank. We'll hopefully be able to bring us some funding from the state. These are all state roads. These are all, many of these are in the county. Well, they're all in the county, but I mean, half of the traffic or half the area or more is in the county. Like if you look at Hitchcock Parkway, a large area there is still in the county along Hitchcock Parkway. The Powder House Road Connector, all that area between Powder House and Whiskey is in the county. So again, we're looking at the future. I have not seen this. The county was going to come up with their 30%. According to the joint resolution that was passed by the three bodies. But I will go ahead and make a note and add other roadway projects. And then the last grouping is...
Roger, okay. As I recall reading, the current administration has placed funds into the federal transportation budget for these kinds of projects as an initiative to create jobs. Have we explored...
We have, and they it was very interesting. 2 months ago, they came out with a list for what they call the next round of funds. And when they came out with it, they asked for public input. Are there any other projects that are not on this list that you would like to add to the list? Of course, none of our projects were on the list. So we added the other projects, and when the highway commissioners voted, they didn't include any other projects than what was currently on the list. In fact, they deleted some of those projects that were even on their list. So unfortunately in our state, because there has not been a gas tax change in decades, vehicles are getting more miles per gallon, prices are going up for asphalt and the repair of the roads, the amount of money available to do roadway projects is dwindling and the needs are growing.
Roger, let me ask a question. Back to paving of roads under public works, how much would you estimate that $1,750,000 would be state roads?
Zero.
None of that?
None of that.
That's all city?
That's all city road work. That's $250,000 per year.
Okay. Now, we do get some state money, albeit very little, to handle the roads that are state roads in the city.
Currently, the state of South Carolina gives to our local area $275,000 per year. They call it C fund money. That C fund money, as the mayor said, does not go very far. It gives us, depending if it's a divided road like we have within our parkway system, or just two lanes, say about 24 feet wide, it gives us around 2 miles worth of road paving. And we have 100 I want to say about 110 miles of state streets. And if you start looking at 2 miles per year, that means every 55 years you're going to repave those roads. And they wear out in around 20 to 25 years. We at least did some programs recently, about 10 years ago, that extended some of the life through a chip type seal method. And so the worst of the worst roads have gotten repaved. And but again, it's going to catch up to us sooner or later. The last two items the city has is called Northside Renewal. We had $1,750,000 in there. That again gives us $250,000 per year. We have purchased lots of property. We have completed the Tool Hill project. We're now working on the Cross and Park project and the Edgewood project. And that's where the shortfall in funding is coming from, is this $250,000. As I stated, that helped pay for a lot of the land we had, that paid for some of the overhead and management fees that we had. And I think you could all see a lot of the results we had at Tool Hill, Ashton Oaks, and some of the other projects we had. And so we're continuing that. I really believe that when we get through this next round of funding, if we need any more, it'll be a smaller amount, because I believe that much, if not most, of the work will be done in the next 5 to 10 years. The next area is the municipal building. When a space need study was instituted a couple of years ago, looking at what is the future needs of this building, trying to keep everybody together that's currently in this building. One of the space needs, and we talked about this as council, was, well, let's just move planning out and they could move an office over here. Inspections could be an office over here. And the basic thought was, let's try to keep everybody together as much as we can, because especially if a developer comes in, they want to go to planning, they might want to see the city manager, they might want to go up to inspections, and one shop or one stop works very well. To keep us in the same building, we looked at several other locations. It was finally decided to stay in the building we're at. We looked at moving this wall out all the way to the alley, expanding the council chambers, or maybe getting rid of the conference center. Again, the decision was, don't get rid of the conference center. Let's keep it the way it is. And so we purchased the property going out the wall in that direction, all the way to Newberry Street. That would give us around 8,000 square feet of floor space, two floors, that'll give us 1,600 square feet. The proposal that we initially made, and we haven't even started the design drawings on it, is to go ahead and more than likely, at least initially, have the first floor being retail with the second floor being office space. We have not pushed that, obviously, number one, because of the financial situation the city is in and the country is in right now. And so we have purchased the property, and the next thing would be, if we had $3 million in funding, we would look at sometime in the next 10 years making an expansion of this building going out that wall to Newberry Street. But again, if and when we do that, then council would be involved with what those details would be, and would it be one story, two stories, and how we'd use that office space with the expansion. But we have $3 million so that we could do that in the next several years. Any questions on any of those? Make sure I got all my notes here covered.
I just wanted to add just for information, you know, for the folks in the audience, we purchased the building on the corner about a year ago for $900,000 to add to the space needs for the city.
And we now have the PAC office over there, and I've heard nothing but great comments from downtown merchants and citizens how they like that. The mayor had mentioned we're going to go through these other items with the folks. After we hear from everybody, I would like to get some input from council as to maybe what direction you would like us to look at in the next few weeks as far as the possible, should we increase or decrease some of these items? Is there some priority? And then lastly, if it's not past midnight, if we could, council could start thinking about who would be the representative we might want to consider that's going to be sitting on the six-member committee. The last email I got last week from the county administrator, they will be voting on this at their either their March, I want to say, 14th meeting, or the first one they have in April. So we need to select that person sooner than later. And it would be great if we could select that person. Again, we don't have to select them tonight because we're not voting on anything. But then at the meeting we'd have next Monday, that would be great if we could make that selection.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay, Cumbie Center has come to us tonight with an application. Who would like to speak for Cumbie? Sister Gloria? Let me just say this. Anyone that comes up to the mic tonight to speak, if you would just give your name and your address, please, where you live.
Okay.
So for the records and that kind of thing, in case we have a question later on or something.
Okay, good evening. My name is Gloria Pierce. I am the chairperson of the board of directors for the Cumbie Center to assist abused persons. We are here tonight to ask for $500,000 of the renewed tax in order to construct a new building, for a counseling building to counsel our families that come in for help that have been abused or seeking counseling, sexual assaulted children and women and men. And in order to, right now, we are in a building that is merely 2,400 square feet. And that is not enough to handle privacy for these victims. We do not have enough space for preventive programs to facilitate any special counseling that is required or needed. And we would like for this building to be on to be located on a property about 6,000 to 7,000 square feet.
Gloria, would you go into some deep detail? I know you can't go into a lot of detail, but some detail on all the things that you get involved with. You know, to whatever detail you can go into it.
Sure. Well,
so actually, that everybody understands.
Okay. Well, actually, at this point, I will turn it over to our director.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question for you.
Good segue, huh? Right into
she
that.
You speak a lot more intelligently on it than I can.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you're all familiar with Kay Mixon. She's the director of the center.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. Thank you, folks, for having us here tonight. I think this is the first time I've been to a meeting for council that you provided background music,
yeah,
the jazz. Like that. That's kind of nice. That lets a little of the pressure off.
Yeah. No extra cost to anything.
Yeah. At the Cumbie Center, we have been here since
Your name.
Oh, my name is Kay Mixon, and I'm the executive director of the Cumbie Center. And I believe you asked for an address in case you would you like the office address or would you like my home address?
Your office address is just fine.
Okay, we're at 135 Lancaster Street here in Aiken. That's southwest. And as you know, the Cumbie Center is for battered women and rape victims. And we've been around since 1979. Our number each year, I keep thinking, you know, we've been around a long time and the numbers have got to go down. But unfortunately, they're not. Well, this past year, we dealt with over 2,000 clients. And according to statistics, that's only 10% that really reports domestic violence. And we provide not only crisis intervention, we go to the hospital when there is a domestic or a sexual assault. We coordinate things with the sheriff's department, And when there is a child sexually abused, we coordinate also with the Child Advocacy Center. In fact, we work very closely with the Child Advocacy Center because it is a very important, and when we have children, it's better for them to be able to go to the Advocacy Center than having to go to a hospital when it's not quite as friendly as the Advocacy Center. We provide the intervention, counseling, and long-term counseling, as well as shelter. Oh, we have two master's level therapists on staff who really are doing a lot of hardcore counseling because we no longer have the option to send them to mental health because they've been cut so until we end up with a lot of the clientele who have serious, not just domestic violence, but serious other mental problems that has to be dealt with. We could use another therapist. We would love to have a lawyer. We just have no space. We can't do group work because we have no rooms big enough to conduct it. Last week when we had our board meeting, we had one board member having to sit in the hall because we're out of space. So we are asking you, because you do care about the city of Aiken as well as Aiken County, and we do a lot of beauty in this county, in this city. But as long as we have the number of domestic violence and the child sexual abuse, in fact, in 2007, and I was in Columbia when I got this message, Aiken County ranked number one for sexual assault to children. So we got to do something to change that. These families, it's not something you can just say, get over it. You don't get over it that easy. It takes a long time to work with the victims as well as working with families and then within our community to make things better. So I asked you to consider us. Over my time, I've been the director for 23 years, and I've tried to stick to finding grants, and grants have run out. We have received about a 40% cut to our sexual assault money from the state, and that's kind of rough for us to try and still. I will provide those services somehow, some way, because the need is there, and I need you to help me fulfill that need. Thank you very much. Any questions?
I have a question, sure. Ms. Mixon. Three questions, as a matter of fact. The land. Have you purchased the land for this?
We have not, but we will be looking. We're kind of hoping maybe we'll be as lucky as the CAC and maybe be able to come up and either from the county or someone for some land.
Do you expect to go to the county with a request as well?
Oh, we have already sent the information in, and thanks to Mr. DeLuke, I will be contacting the city in North Augusta because they do not contribute to us, but we contribute very much to their clients.
The reason that I ask about purchasing the land already, I did not know whether you had identified a location in the county. And my question was going to be, with USDA funding, if you had purchased someplace in the county, whether you had explored the opportunities for USDA funding.
Not yet. But we will be looking. We will leave no stone unturned. We have looked at different places. We really need to be within the city because everything that our clients, we are in and out of the court every day, four or five times a day. We need to be right where we can go back and forth to court and also to the other resources that are available for our clientele.
There's land within the boundaries of the city, given how our zoning is in this city,
mm-hmm.
that it could be labeled as county property. So that's
okay.
Why I was asking.
Yeah, we will check into that. Thank you for the information.
Okay, what is your staff made up of? How many people? And
we have 17 staff members.
17.
But we cover six counties.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yes, we cover six counties.
Six counties.
Yes, we do. We are the regional shelter for Aiken, Barnwell, and Allendale. And then for sexual assault, we cover Aiken, Barnwell, Allendale, Edgefield, Saluda, and McCormick County. But we do receive funds from those counties also. So that is supplemented by that and our state funds. But the facility, if we're lucky to, when we get that facility, will be strictly for the clients here.
Yeah. What is your budget and what should your budget be if you were to do the best possible job you think you could do?
Our budget right now is a little over $700,000, and we probably need to be at $1.5 million.
What? One what?
$1.5
million. Okay. And one other question. Do you get in, maybe you mentioned this before and I missed it, do you get in any counseling before the fact?
Yes, we do. Before, yes, we do. If the family contacts us, and we have so many parents that call us and say, you know, my daughter, and this is not just marriage. This is people who are dating, but even more high school and middle school kids who will call us and say, I'm really worried about this situation my child is in. I need to know what to do. And so we will meet with them. We'll also meet with the child and talk about the situation and how they can help it. But we are very instrumental now with, we have a community educator that does nothing but go to schools. We have been picked as a pilot program out of three in the state. The other two was Greenville and Charlotte, in order to do teachers initiative to teach the teachers and the school staff on what to look for, how to deal with them, where the resources are. So we have one person that is totally doing that, and she is paid by federal funds.
I said that was my last question. I indicated
that's okay.
That.
I'm
I didn't
fine.
Say that, but I indicated. And you said you had 2,000 clients, roughly.
Yes.
This past year.
This past year.
What was it before?
It was right around 1,800.
Okay, so that gives us an idea of how the growth it's growing and. Okay. Thank you very much. Any other
questions? Ms. Mixon, I have one other question over here.
Okay,
thank you.
Sure.
What do you think your building is going to cost with 6,000 to 7,000 square feet?
I would say somewhere between about 700,000. That's just roughly, because I'm not sure yet, because we just started this. And looking, but we have looked. I know with the CAC built theirs, it was about 700,000, a little over. And we would look at something about that size, maybe a little bigger.
Thank you,
Ms. Mixon. Do y'all currently have any money set aside for this?
No, we don't, because the money that we had in reserve, because of all the cuts in the state budget, we've had to just step in and pull those funds out, and we're constantly trying to raise money with fundraisers, but right now we do not. But we would work towards other projects on how we could maybe, like it's going to have to be furniture and all that, and we would certainly work on finding money for that.
Is your thrift store helping a little bit that you had? You had to move out of the one on...
Well, we did not. Thank goodness the Tylers were very nice to let us stay in there. And it's up and down as our economy goes. But we keep things going there. And hopefully in time it will build up. And we appreciate all the support that we receive at that. We take donations.
And we've given you some, too.
You have, and I really appreciate it.
Any other questions from anyone?
Thank you, Ms. Mixon.
Just a comment. We receive funds every week, every month, to support under our Victims Advocate Program that we set aside. And This was brought to our attention last year with Compee Center. So in the budget, current budget we're in, we have $6,500 that we give to the Compee Center during the year for general support, what I'd call your operation and maintenance. The Child Advocacy Center that was mentioned, we also give $6,500 to, and that comes out of our victims advocacy budget. During the last referendum, the 2004, funds were placed in that referendum for the Child Advocacy Center building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the things that came up the very, literally right at the very last moment. And so that's, they were able to use that funding. And then we supported the Child Advocacy Center through some funds that had been set aside in reserve under the victims advocacy, several tens of thousands of dollars to help them with the building of that building. Mm-hmm. So we have been involved with them. We've been involved with Compee Center. And I know Kay has been talking to me and other individuals here, you know, what can we do even more because of the great need that there is out there.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let you know that there is a, we do have a relationship right now.
Yes.
And in the next year's budget, we're actually looking at trying to give you even more money.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And, of course, that's 141 money, which over the years, the first year, it was just put in general budgets. But after that, the legislators passed that it could only be used for victim services. And after you have your victim advocate in law enforcement, then the next folks in line for that 141 money was rape crisis and domestic violence programs. And I am very happy to say that you are the only ones in the county that is giving us part of that money.
Good.
So we really appreciate that. That's a milestone because this is something that is going across the whole state, especially right now. We have three rape crisis centers that will be closing if there's another cut in the state budget. And that means then we have to pick up the pieces. So anything that you can help us with, we greatly appreciate it, and we thank you very much.
Your 17 staff members, are they all full-time or some part-time?
We have two staff members, one that works all day Saturday and Saturday night, and then one on Sunday, but the rest of the staff is all full-time.
Good.
Yes, most definitely. So thank you very much,
thank
and
you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you very much, Kate, and your staff. For what you're doing. Okay, we'll turn our attention now to those who did present before, but we want to hear something from them at least again. I've got a list right here, and I'll just, if it's okay, I'll just take them as they appear on my desk here. And that would be the University of South Carolina at Aiken first. Dr. Hallman, if you would, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. I was here a couple weeks ago talking about a pedestrian bridge over the Robert Bell Parkway as a safety measure for that nearly 1,000 students who live on campus. Going over to the Convocation Center, the Roberto Hernandez baseball field, and the other athletic complex that we expect to be located over there. I'm sorry, I did start out. I'm Tom Hallman. I'm the chancellor of the USCA. And
glad you told us that.
I can look that address up for you if you need it. We believe that this is a $1 million project. And we're asking for $500,000 worth of support in this source. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Now, Tom, will you cover the fact that this is for safety concerns for your students as they cross the highway?
No question. That's a 55-mile-an-hour road, the Robert Bell Parkway there, and as we host athletic events, concerts, primarily our students going over to athletic events, but we do from time to time have overflow from concerts at the Convocation Center and end up parking people on our side of the road, and they end up crossing that road at all points along there. at night, and it's a very unsafe situation. We believe that it's a long-term, a good investment in, for that reason alone.
Chancellor, this would be for, I assume, golf cart type things, pulling equipment over as well, right? Well, so it's not only people walking over.
Yeah, we have maintenance crews that service that side of the campus from the original campus, and we certainly would need a facility that would accommodate those vehicles to keep them off the road, too. Mm-hmm.
How about help from other sources?
We're exploring it. Clearly, it's a $1 million project, and I'm only asking for $500,000. Since I met with you the last time, I actually do have a commitment for $500,000.
Great.
So if I could get this level of support, I could begin building it when those funds become available.
And the county? How about the county?
Well, we're going to pursue this same level with them. But we're exploring all available sources. Certainly, out of all the stimulus money, we believe this is a worthwhile project. And if we can get it designed sooner or later, it's going to be a shovel-ready project. And if I were able to find that funding somewhere else, I would remove this request from your responsibility. But until I have it, I need to pursue every source that I can.
Anything else? Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Next would be Aiken County Family Y, please.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Danny McConnell, the president of the YMCA, and we are currently, most of you know, operating out of the Hitchcock Rehab Facility right across from the university. I'm here tonight to ask again for support to help the YMCA get to the next phase of our service to this community to build an indoor pool. Just a quick update. My journey started about 6.5 years ago to get to where we are today. And during that time, what we've accomplished is we have 32 acres of land that's been donated, about $2.5 million that's been raised locally, another $5 million in federal money that we've gone after. And you put all that together and you can kind of do the math and see that we're going to have somewhere in the $9 to $10 million of new capital that's going to be invested in this community. We're underway with that project on Trolley Line Road as we speak, about 5 weeks into it, about another 60 days of site work, and then we're going to start building the building. You can tell there's a lot of support already for this. This community has gotten behind the Family Y for a number of years now. We're providing after-school care and swim lessons in a Hitchcock rehab pool, summer day camp, and we're certainly impacting the health of this community and the fitness that we offer there. So to get this facility built, and once built, try to add a phase two, which would be an indoor pool facility. Many of you I know have heard through the years the need to get an indoor pool once and for all in Aiken. So we think we have a solution to help you accomplish that and to do so in a very reasonable way. To invest $1 million that we're asking, the cost of which would normally be much greater, but with the infrastructure that we're already investing on that site, we can keep your cost on the front end much lower than if you had to build this on your own. And if you add to that, once built, that the operational expenses are going to be on the Y. That we'll take the risk and we'll take those expenses. So I think we can keep the cost low, and we obviously will take on all the cost once the facility comes online. So we think it's a great investment on the part of this group. Hope you see the wisdom in that. And then, of course, the impact on just quality of life and services to this community for many years to come that's going to serve all ages. I won't go back through all the benefits of that, and that's pretty obvious. But I will answer questions for anybody that may have come since the last time we talked.
Would you care to talk briefly about the connection with Galaxy, or do you want them to talk about the connection with you?
I'd love to talk about that, and they aren't here tonight to do that.
That would be the next item, the fact that those two would be connected.
correctly? Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'll touch on our part of it.
Okay.
We're pretty excited about the possibility of partnering with Galaxy. You know, a teen center is another exciting project to think about, a facility like that coming online, and about 15,000 square feet that could be built attached to the YMCA facility. And this partnership that could provide services for youth. That facility, if you think about that investment, from the time we open in the early mornings, usually around 5 o'clock until late in the evenings, you'll see it serve a lot of different age groups. It certainly is going to save youth in the afternoons and evenings. We certainly see that teen center being able to provide services for seniors in the morning and younger kids in the afternoons, and then, of course, older kids in the evenings. So we think it's going to be a partnership between the two groups that will go a long way, provide a lot of services that are needed, and we are pretty excited about where that may go.
Would you repeat the location again? So everybody knows.
Yes, thank you. It's on Trolley Line Road. It's exactly 0.8 miles, a little less than a mile, once you turn beside Kent's Corner and start to head towards Graniteville. And you can't miss it because we've cleared 13.5 acres already. So if you drive down that road right now, you'll see it's underway. It's pretty exciting. There's some future home of signs about to go up this coming week that you can see exactly where the entrance is going to be. Thank you.
I know that this is repeating yourself, and I think that we had asked Galaxy this question at the last meeting, but how do you handle the comments regarding students or young people trying to get to your location with the location that you're proposing to build this facility?
Thank you. I think there's a couple of comments. One is the first one, that teenagers will get where they want to if there's services being provided they want to get to. But you also know that we have a transportation plan in place. There's about 8 buses that we own, and we plan to provide some busing where needed to areas of the community. So we'll get those kids there. Thank you for asking.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, the Galaxy Center.
Good evening. My name is Pastor Bill Jefferson, and we are right now we're operating out of the project Excel. We're Sharon Woods is out, the project director, 1040 York Street. We are, as it was said, that endeavoring to join together with the Y and present a program that's going to be beneficial to our youth here in the CSRA. And pretty much we've spoken so far as the benefits are, we made clear that in this changing society that we have now, there are all kinds of needs that need to be addressed with the youth, that it's so far as the individual agencies, they do many things, but it's a diverse type of community that we're dealing with now, and they really need to have a centralized location whereby all these things can be, their needs rather, can be addressed. Even as I heard it was being spoken by the Cumbus Center, the complexities of the problems of our today's youth are so diverse that it's mind-boggling, to say the least. And we plan on having different agencies being centralized in this one location that we can offer so many opportunities for the youth, not only the youth, the children, the teens, and seniors, whereby they will be able to have their needs addressed. And it's we want to aggressively seek out the youth that are basically, in many cases, just kind of going under the radar and not being even dealt with the issues that are needed. Like I said, it crosses all lines of economic and racial barriers, and there are things that we can address because, as I said, we will aggressively seek them out, aggressively advertise and have programs that will attract them to come into the center and be a part of that, and to be more progressive in taking part of their own future and being active parts of the community. And if there are any questions, I'm ready.
Pastor, could you talk a little bit about some of the things that would be going on in the youth center? It's just not an empty building where kids are going in there and doing whatever they want to do. You're going to have in there?
Yes, sir. We're actively, as I said, going to get the different agencies such as, we'd like to get involved with the USC Aiken, Aiken Tech, whereby they will have actual vocational programs that will help them to progress in their educational pursuits. It's going to address the areas of recreation, vocation. It's going to address even the area of entertainment, whereby we're hoping to be involved with this cinema, whereby they will not only be participating in the entertainment part, but also learn skills that come out of that area of that area of entertainment. Also, we would like to have a radio station involved where they will learn skills insofar as DJing and working in the radio studios. There's so many opportunities, so many venues that we could bring in to get them involved. As I said, we'd like to get Aiken Tech involved insofar as bringing in shops for working with cars and working with different skills such as when you're dealing with the metals and such things as that. But
Welding.
There you go. With welding, and basically, and also, we're going to be wanting to address the areas whereby the educational system is concerned, whereby, like I said, the dropouts, the kickouts, the ones that but basically need help in any other areas of the education. There, because of the type of volunteers that we'll be having, they will offer a wide scale of different assets to them, whereby there will be availability of counseling, tutoring, mentoring, and because they will be a great volunteer base, it will be really very minimal in its cost insofar as operation.
Mm-hmm. And this is would be very similar to the Fusion Center up in Anderson.
Yes.
What's very successful up there.
Yes, sir. We definitely wanted to. We modeled it after the Fusion Center. We visited several centers, in fact. And they, as we said, they have a membership of about 8,000 teens. And even in the afternoons, when they get ready to open up, they have a line of people, about two blocks worth of line of youth just trying to get in, because youth want something to do. Contrary to common opinion, you know, they're just not just wanting to do nothing. And because of the different types of entertainment that we have with the games and the TVs and the movies and stuff, it's really draining our great one of our greatest resources in our youth. And so therefore, it's like water goes to the place of least resistance. And so therefore, that's why we're going to go out and aggressively show them there's a better way that they can not only gain from it, but they can also enjoy it while they're gaining.
Reverend Jefferson, you mentioned that the staffing would be done by volunteers, and you're working with Aiken Tech and some of the other institutions.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And also, in talking now with Cedar Creek, with Spencer, Sandy Spencer, she's sent some of our paperwork to the pastors, and they are interested because they are also doing something partnering with the Y, and they have a wide base of volunteers. We are in the process of contacting Millbrook and other churches, and as I said, with the Aiken Regional Hospital, Bridgestone, Firestone, all these different agencies offer the things that we want to see implemented in this youth center, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Okay. Pastor Jefferson, last time you mentioned about how you would operate this particular part of that area, and I think you mentioned that it would be run either by a trust or a chair. 501(c)(3) type thing. How would you manage all these different types of funds coming in? And maybe Mr. Ledoux has part of this, but you got a lot of different funds coming in from sources. How would you expect to manage this area?
Well, we had talked to some people about getting Aiken Corps involved in this, and that they would manage a lot of the legalities and the finances of what we're having to maintain there. We also would have the board of directors that would, which have a lot of people that have these skills and stuff. Insofar as managing, you mean the negotiating of the monies and
yes, the monies that are coming into you, and then the dispersion of these, you know, for the different programs as opposed to the programs that the Y puts on.
Yes, sir. As I said, we would definitely be courting Aiken Corps insofar as getting involved in that and handling those finances and the legalities. Basically, that's it. And there are other United Way. We're getting involved. We've had meetings with United Way AmeriCorps and also Clemson, and they're also involved in helping us insofar as setting up and establishing the proper structure.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ledoux, this would fit into the overall picture of how to manage this area, since it would be a part of the Y, but not the exactly operated by the Y. Is that correct?
Yep. Assuming that they move forward with this building and with the program, I would see that the city of Aiken would have a seat at the table with the board of directors, but I would also see that this would be a 501c3 that would be operating independently of any governmental agency. The actual bricks and mortars, you know, we could get more involved in the construction of it, but you know, once it got constructed, we would not have anything on a day-to-day basis with the running of the program.
And that was my interest after it's built, is to be sure that it was run appropriate, so it is a separate entity from the Y as far as funding and the volunteerism and all the organizations that are working with Pastor Jefferson's endeavor here. Thank you.
Roger, is it appropriate right now to talk about Eustis Park and the youth center and what was, I think, your earlier question regarding yes. wanting to address that $3.5 million?
Again, this is a question the City Council has to make a decision on, because in 2004 we were going in one direction, which was to build that senior youth center at Eustis Park. Mm-hmm. If Council decides to go in the opposite direction, whether the teen center is built at the Y like they're proposing or someplace else, is this the proposal you would like to work in that direction? Specifically, though, the question that Pastor Jefferson and his group that he's working with is to build it at the YMCA. So, to me, it's an either-or. The third option would be not do nothing, you know, not to build any teen center. But it's, do you do it at the Eustis Park, mm-hmm. as we originally proposed, which has some advantages, but it has disadvantages. We talked about some of those at the last meeting. If it gets built at the YMCA, that's the second proposal that we have here. But the way I list the funding, based on the kind of the direction that I was getting from Council at the last meeting, was to take the money out of Eustis Park and just use it as land only.
Okay, and we did apply. We are in the process of getting the 501c3 in the process of now, and it's already in action. So.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. How about next being the Center for African American History, Art, and Culture?
I am T.L.S. Strother, and I'm a member of the board for the Center for African American History, Art, and Culture. And this is my colleague, Colleen Reed. She is also a member of the board. I have been in this community for about 5 years. I come from Madison, Wisconsin. In Madison, Wisconsin, we spent about 5 years and a whole lot of angst within the community to determine whether or not we were going to save the Arches from the old technical college as we built the new technical college. In Madison, things don't grow old, they get torn down. Imagine when I moved here, I discovered that Aiken is committed to preserving its history. You have a gem here, and you really need to realize that with the Emanuel Institute building that we are trying to establish as an educational facility and capture that history of all of the African Americans who contributed to developing Aiken County. I just can't tell you how important that is. I truly believe that our past informs our future. And I have observed that students today really don't have that. The information hasn't been as preserved as well as, say, the Thoroughbred Horse Museum or the Doll Museum and those kinds of things. What we're proposing is a facility to capture that history and to educate school children, a place for university students to get some experience, to volunteer, and an opportunity to just really complete that historical perspective that is so typical of Aiken.
Do you want to say something?
Just a couple of words. I had the honor and privilege of working with Tiella. She was the editor of the book, Pictorial History of African Americans in Aiken County, and I'm chapter 3, by the way, and I do have copies available for sale. I had to make people laugh a little. Anyway, the center is a very important project to me because doing the research for the book, I learned that there is a great history and many stories that need to be told. We have just touched the surface with book one. We've already started thinking about book two. I also am involved with Pine Lawn Cemetery, and we're doing research with the help of students from USC Aiken and compiling information about those that are interred at Pine Lawn Cemetery. And one of our dreams is to have the genealogical section set up using the information that we have from Pine Lawn Cemetery at the Center for African American Arts, History, and Culture. So I think it's, you know, a good mesh of the two projects that I'm involved with. If anyone has any questions, we'll try to answer them.
Ms. Strother, can you or someone provide us with information on the journey that, the education journey that people that would enter the center, what would they expect to see?
Well, the plans are, by the way, we have designs for the exhibits. Coming into the center, people would see the original. We have the slave ship. They would come in as if they were on a slave ship and experience some of the feeling of what it was like to be brought over to this country in slave ships. Then we go to the Charleston area is where the slaves first came in, and look at the rice plantations and those things down there. And then moving up to the founding of Aiken, the African Americans' participation in Aiken. A lot of businesses along, well, this alley here that was used to be primarily African American businesses. And then coming up to present day, we would be highlighting some of the things that are going on there. The exhibits are going to be interactive. For example, in showing what it was like in Africa, for instance, we'll have an African hut, and students will be able to learn how to do some African dances, how to do the drumming. We had a preliminary program of that type in Black History Month, just a couple of weeks ago at the Lloyd Kennedy Charter School. But throughout, the students are going to be able to handle things, objects, as they learn, experience things, participate in the activities. Rather than just going through looking at something, we really want this to be an opportunity for students to learn through experience what things happened in their past that brought us to this point.
Is there a connection with what you're doing with the education, the school system?
We have made contact with the school system. We have on our board the member of USC Aiken. They are just anxious to have a place where their students can go and get some history students, social studies, those kinds of areas where they can go and get some on-hand experience in exploring the history that we have. Yes, so we're working with the school systems, and they're interested, of course, in bringing children through.
Can I have two comments?
You can have three if you like.
The first thing I would like to add is in the African experience, the children are going to be shown foods that are common to them today, but it will be showing their origin, as in the okra and different food items like that, which also is very fortunate for me with my involvement at the farmers market. The other thing is when you first go into the center, there will be a greeting section, and the children will have a wall of faces that they'll be able to see. And it'll be people that look like them. And with the accomplishments that the African American community has contributed, not only to Aiken and South Carolina, but to the United States and to the world with the many inventions that they're responsible for, then you will take this dark passage. And the way we have envisioned the center, and Reverend Slaughter came to me a long time ago, and he didn't say, "I have a dream." He said, "I have a vision." Mm-hmm. And that vision was this building and this journey. And through that journey, in the beginning, it's very dark. And there is no hope. And as you progress, you can see the birth of hope. And once you have gone through this dark passage, you open into this room that is full of light and air and filled with hope, showing the actual accomplishments. And I think that that's the beauty of this center.
Any other questions?
I think not. Thank you very much for your presentation. Okay, last but... last but certainly not least, the SPCA.
Good evening. Nice to see you again. When I was last here, I explained the relationship between the SPCA and the City of Aiken. We've had a contractual relationship for at least the last 21 years. It's a little bit more than a contractual relationship. It's truly a partnership where we're seeking to prevent problems, not just handle those problems. We presume that the city would like to continue their contract for the holding, the care, and the administrative support for all the animals that are brought in by the City of Animal Control, which is more than 900 animals, which is approximately 65% of the population of the shelter. Because we presume this, our request is that the city fund its share of the physical needs. And then the remainder of the project will come entirely from private donations. I'll be happy to answer any specific questions you have about those physical needs, or any other questions that you have. I think I've reviewed the project a couple of times with you, and if you like, we can bring down the projector again. But I'll be happy to answer your questions.
I
By the looks of it, you've done a very good job in the past, and also with your write-ups and everything, Barbara. And certainly, this is a partnership that we've had for how many years now?
At least 21 years, as far as I can tell, the records go back.
Yeah, and you'd have to imagine what would happen if we didn't have this, or if it would go away right now. And you still have all the dogs.
You'd have dogs,
and
cats,
animals,
horses,
and the other things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, horses, pigs, goats, right. A little of everything. Yeah, you'd probably have 900 animals euthanized.
Yeah. You want to talk any about the spay-neuter for perhaps somebody that's not here?
The spay-neuter clinic, of course, is incredibly important, not only that, but education. The answer to the future is that we must convince people to spay-neuter. We have made it, the SPCA has worked very hard with other private organizations and with the city of Aiken, and now with Aiken County. We're also working with other communities around us to make spay-neuter affordable. Anybody that is within the fingertips of the SPCA, which extends out quite a ways these days into Saluda, Ridge Spring, Barnwell, a number of areas. In fact, anywhere in South Carolina, you can come to the SPCA, and with all our programs combined, we can anywhere from $0 to $105, your animal can be spayed or neutered. It is all income-based. So if you can't afford it, but you still love your pet, and you don't want all those puppies and kittens around and everything it takes to mess with that, the SPCA will make it affordable for you. Right now, our spay-neuter clinic has a capacity of only 3,000 surgeries. The spay-neuter clinic that is built into this facility here is a regional spay-neuter clinic. It has a capacity of 12,000 surgeries. We know we have a demand for 6,000 surgeries within 1 year. Between the county voucher system, between the program that City Council put in place a few years ago, and all of our other resources and partnerships with other rescue organizations, we know that we can do 6,000 surgeries. And that is at a slight profit, incidentally. The board of the SPCA is very diligent about looking at all of our programs and making sure that we are debt-free and that we run a balanced budget. So as I say, the answer to this regional spay-neuter clinic we're going to build, there will be a transportation system that will go 50 miles in any direction, pick up animals one day, stay overnight, and then they'll go back the next day. So it's a continuous system.
Nelson, you're requesting $1 million to add to what you're already raising to build your building for?
Yes.
Is this for the park or the animal shelter all combined, the dog park?
The dog park is already built, so that's already taken care of. The facility itself that we're building is a $4.5 to $5 million facility, depending on how the economy runs and how the subcontractors are. What we're asking is that the city fund its portion of the animal, the physical needs of animal control. And that is approximately 40% of the facility. We really are only asking for 20%. And that translates to $1 million.
And what are you requesting from the county?
We aren't requesting anything from the county because we do not contract with the county.
Okay.
Just a simple question here. Do you accept dogs from further away than that, even if they bring it to you?
If we have room, our admission policy is this, is that the City of Aiken animals have priority because we have a contract. After that, if we have kennel space available, anybody that shows up at the door, bring them in on a first-come, first-served basis.
What is your budget, your annual budget?
About $700,000 this year.
And your staff?
Staff, Gary? 14 staff members.
Just so council knows, we have a contract with the SPCA. It runs probably between $55,000 and $60,000 a year. If you could imagine us trying to run our own shelter, what the cost would be to just maintain a facility of that type, and then also the veterinarian fees, and we'd be talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars that we'd be spending. Now, the $55,000 to $60,000 does not include our animal control person, but it just pays for the facility that we're in and the maintenance fees that we give them. So it's been a great relationship. It's been a great savings for the city of Aiken over these last 20-some years as to when at one time we thought about getting into our own shelter.
You did think about building your own shelter?
1 second he spent thinking about that.
It didn't take very long.
I can understand that. Yeah. It is a great deal for a city of Aiken. It really is. And the animals that are brought in, the SPCA is a no-kill facility. And what is, if you're a resident of the city of Aiken, the animal that is brought in is a stray or even a personal surrender. Say for some reason it didn't work out and you bring it to the SPCA. If it is an adoptable animal, we are a no-kill shelter, it's going to be adopted out. There aren't very many animal shelters that can say that around here.
How many horses do you have?
We brought in, the city of Aiken brought in, how many horses last year? Just one?
We
have
one.
One? One. Okay. Lots of goats.
What's the size of your property?
We have 10.2 acres on the new property at Willow Run Road. The current property on Wire Road is also 10 acres.
Okay.
With 9,000 square feet of buildings and a barn.
Well, it's a beautiful facility you're planning, and it looks like it's the state of the art.
It will be a very nice facility. We were very careful about how we designed it. It's not the Taj Mahal, but it will last a very, very long time. It's not something we're going to have to rebuild in another 20, 30 years. The materials that are going into this, one of the reasons it costs so much to build it, is because we're determined that it's still going to look good a long time from now. Or else don't build it.
Right, right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now that's all the presentations we know about. And we'll clap for everybody. How about that? I tell you that they're all wonderful projects. There's no doubt about it. Now there may be someone else in the audience that wants to speak on any of these subjects or anything else?
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the council, my name is Reverend Brendalyn Jenkins, and I live at 804 Dillon Avenue in beautiful Tool Hill. And I'm here to, I guess I'm batting cleanup tonight because I'm here in support of several of the projects. I am the executive director of the Imani Group, a community-based nonprofit organization, as well as the president of the Aiken Branch NAACP. Firstly, I'd like to speak in support of the African American Center for History, Art, and Culture. We support this project with individual and organizational donations for the project. It is our firm belief that this center will be beneficial to the education of our children and even to adults. Aiken is a part of South Carolina's Heritage Corridor, and it's my belief that having the center will add to the purpose of that corridor and that educational experience by providing a more expansive and inclusive history. Second, as the director of the Imani Group, we have had the honor of serving the past 3 years as partners with Clemson University's Youth Learning Institute, Reds Branch Church, Christ Central, Second Baptist Church, and Cary Hill Churches in a Communities Empowering Youth Grant. We've collaborated on several projects to improve the lives of children and to reduce violence and abuse among children. Last January, we partnered with the Aiken Family Y to provide swim lessons to more than 150 children in the Aiken community. Not all of the children were African American, but it is significant that the majority of them were. Why, you might ask, is because drowning rates among African American children in the United States are among the highest of any children in the world. The Y, specifically Katie Lyle and Robin Calcutt, were more than supportive of this effort. They helped with the scheduling of the pool, scheduled the classes, and in several instances, they provided transportation. In the summer of 2008, they provided scholarships for summer camp experiences for some children that would have never had the opportunity to enjoy summer camp. Additionally, they provided transportation and admission to their swim park in Augusta for children in the Tool Hill community.
Additionally, I am also here to speak in support of the Galaxy Teen Center. I was involved in the original gatherings for the Teen Center, and actually it was I that nominated Pastor Jefferson to lead and chair this effort. Far too many of our children are languishing in the streets, whether it's during school or after school and on the weekends. Curfews or more arrests certainly are not the answer. We have children roaming the streets during the daytime, whether they are suspended and or expelled from school, or even if they've dropped out. They only become fodder for the gangs that may eventually invade our community. I'm truly one that believes that we do not have real gangs in Aiken. We have a lot of activity that should give us rise to some concern. Even Chief Fromer has stated during some of our meetings that it is only a matter of time before a charismatic leader arrives in Aiken to captivate and guide our youth into gangs. The Galaxy Teen Center is being proposed is a tremendous preventative measure that we can immediately put in place. Modeled after the tremendously successful Fusion Warehouse in Anderson, we Aiken, an all-American city that has won awards for programming that we have for our youth, can still become another model for communities partnering to protect and provide for our youth. Lastly, I'm on the board of the Inclusion Advisory Council at USC. Dr. Tom Hallman and the administration at USC has worked very diligently to include and expand the experiences of the students and the community through programming there. I think that it would be very wise for us to support the construction of the overpass because it adds to the safety of pedestrians, all pedestrians, the students and workers and visitors to the campus. I support the 1 cent sales tax referendums for the reasons stated above. I do think that it is vital that we communicate to our citizens, though, that we are paying this tax anyway. It is not a new tax, nor an additional tax that is yet to be implemented. We are already paying this tax. And to that end, it only seems appropriate and fair that we, the people, get an opportunity to state how these monies are to be spent and what these monies are to be used for. So I humbly ask that this council give full consideration and support of these projects that I stand now in support of. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Donna Moore Wesby, and my address is 112 Indian Creek Trail, Aiken 29803. I stand before you this evening, and I thank you for this opportunity, in support of the African American Center for History, Art, and Culture. I am 40 years old. I have been a resident of Aiken 30 years. While here in Aiken, I have served as the very first African American to work in the president's office at the Savannah River site. You might be surprised by that because that is not recorded anywhere. I am the very first business in Aiken, the African American business, to receive the Chamber of Commerce's Small Business of the Year. I am also one of four current African Americans that sits on the Aiken County Board of Education. Now, all of those things that I just mentioned to you are not important because of me, but someday they may be important from a historical perspective, 10, 15, 20 years from now, as my child's children are growing, and these residents' children and grandchildren are growing. I believe having a place where we can celebrate and embrace the rich culture that we have right here in Aiken will be not only a great thing, but it will be an honorable thing for the city of Aiken. I want to say, from an educational perspective, as a board member, education obviously is very important to me. And when I look at the state of our young people these days, we suffer, and they suffer, from an identity crisis. They suffer from a lack of self-confidence and self-identification. And I believe that a large part of that is a feeling of unacceptance, non-acceptance, and somewhat a lack of appreciation. I think that it would be very incumbent upon you, our representatives here in the city of Aiken, to recognize that African Americans make up quite a bit, a significant percentage of the residents here in Aiken. And over the past couple of weeks, you've seen quite a number come to the meeting in support of the center. I think that speaks volumes. And I think that it's also very important for us to recognize that our citizens are paying taxes and our citizens are contributing, law-abiding citizens. And for the city of Aiken to provide a facility that will embrace the rich culture and the rich accomplishments that have been contributed would not only be, as I said earlier, a great thing, but it will also show that you have an appreciation for the African American citizens in this community. I recently, actually on Saturday, the city of Aiken had a wonderful celebration of Aiken and our 175th anniversary. I'm a member of Friendship Baptist Church, which is one of the oldest black churches here in Aiken. And I would have you know that over 300 individuals came and toured Friendship Baptist Church. I would venture to say, and those of you who served as hosts at that event, 85 to 90% of those who attended the tour were not African American. I thought that was very striking. And what that said to me was not all African Americans, or not only African Americans, are interested in the wonderful and rich history that we bring to this town. So I want to make it very clear to those of you, if you are thinking that this is just a black project, that it is not. It is one where I believe it will be a strong contribution to the city because, as has already been stated, lots of contributions have been made. But I believe with the fact that we are an all-America city, it would lend so much validity to the fact that we recognize the contributions our citizens are making, those that have made in the past, current as well as the future. So just like Reverend Jenkins, I too serve on some of the other committees and in full support of many of the other activities or projects that have been placed on the table. But as a Board of Education member, I see this facility as one that can enrich not only our appreciation for history, but also as it relates to education, educating our children, educating our adults, educating tourists, because when we look at education, that is something that is so very powerful. And if we support that, I believe you will not be disappointed. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Don Winslow. I live at 3411 Saratoga Street. I'm here to speak on behalf of the YMCA. I'm vice chair of the board. I've been affiliated with the Y in some manner or form for about 30 years. My wife dragged me there many, many years ago, and I said I was going to do aerobics, and it's gone from there. The YMCA is more than physical fitness, the request that we have put before this body for $1 million to fund the swimming pool. Swimming is and has been one of the basic tenets or activities found in a YMCA. Swimming is very important, especially for young people. Somebody else addressed that a little while ago. In fact, one of the things that I've heard throughout this evening from the various speakers is a very animated concern for the youth of this city. And I echo that concern. And the Teen Center, the African American Cultural Center, the Cumbie Center, all these facilities have something in common. They are all out there to serve and to make a better life. for the citizens of this community. Swimming pool, it's something Aiken needs, I think, an indoor pool. This facility that we are building on Trolley Line Road will be a major asset for this community. In fact, when I first came to Aiken 10 years ago, one of the first questions I asked the realtor was where the Y was. And when I found out that the closest one was in Augusta, that was kind of disappointing. However, I'm glad to be standing here tonight and on the verge of seeing this dream of a lot of people fulfilled. I think it will bring to Aiken a lot of benefits, and in particular for the youth. There's a lot of young people today that are looking for direction and someone to show them what they can make of themselves. And certainly the Y has been around for a long time and has done a lot of good in the communities that it has been present in. So this swimming pool is an important part of that, and I ask your support for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is anyone else? Yes, sir.
I'm Jack Beckham, 188 Governor Lane, and I have some concerns about the increase in taxes, not only in the city, but the county, nationwide, and statewide. And one of the things I'd like to ask, I have a lot of questions about, how do we go about deciding which group is the best? How do we decide which group will get funded? And one of the problems I have with 1 cent sale tax is it 1 cent is sort of a misnomer. It sounds like it's not much money, but as you see, with all these people here, if it was only 1 cent, it wouldn't be very many people here. It's millions of dollars, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I have just a few questions I'd like to ask. One of them, how do we do this fairly? Do we fund the group that brings the biggest crowd? Or do we fund the group that's the most needed? Or do we fund the group that has most political power? How do we really decide this? That's one question. What do we do about business? This is a tax on business, although we get a benefit from it, but it does tax business. Do these programs that we spend this money on, will it be for everybody or just a special group? That's a few questions I can't answer, and I know you'll probably wonder about those too. Another question I have is, how much can we afford to be taxed? I mean, when do we get to the point where we can't be taxed any? The people can't afford any more tax. And you know, we have a lot of senior citizens in this city and county, and I have not seen one group here for senior citizens. Although all of these programs are great, I don't disagree with any of them. They all have great goals, but. Where do we draw a line when people who can't pay anymore? And you know, have you ever thought about maybe we should refund some of our taxes or not increase the sale tax? Maybe give some money back to the people. Has that ever crossed anybody's mind? Well, another one is when the government, as you know, the government right now, the federal government is broke. They say it, every individual owes $100,000 to pay off the national debt. Well, how does the city operate when the state's cutting back and the federal government doesn't have any more money? What do we do for city tax? Is that going to be a problem down the road that we should be taking this money and saving it? That's a question I have. I think sometimes I come up here, I try to, maybe y'all call me Killjoy, but I'm just trying to be honest. And That's some questions that I have. And at a last meeting I saw on TV, they said they wanted everybody to come and voice their opinion. And that's some of the questions I have, is how do we keep getting money when the economy is going down, although we're assuming it will come back, but what if it doesn't come back? Thank you.
Why don't you stay there a minute? We'll try to answer.
I'd like to stay here.
And let me address some of these.
I would like to address some as well, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, you go first.
I just wanted to say to you, Mr. Beckham, that if you look at the projects that the city has put forth, the majority of these will address some of the needs of senior citizens, especially when we talk about public safety, public works. I think everybody benefits from all of those projects, the transportation needs. The ones that you are probably most concerned about are the ones that you heard presented tonight, other than the ones that Roger presented tonight, but the additional ones. Now, those are special needs projects, and I think that if we don't address some of the needs that our young people have, we might be in for a very bumpy ride a little later on, and it might not be 10 years from now. From where I sit and what I see, I think we need to do something, and we need to do it fast. Whatever it takes to get our young people back on track, not that they're all off track, but those that are, we need to go ahead and try to do that. This is tough to look at when you look at the amount of money that's raised from the 1 cent sales tax. I know it's not cheap. I know it's a lot of money. And our take is over, what, $38 million. But I think these are things that we actually need. And we can't afford to put it on your residential tax bill. So we do it in what I think is a very palatable way, and that's just add a penny to what you spend, and you can choose not to spend. But for those who do, that penny goes to good use, as far as I could see. But there are plenty of projects on here for everybody. Now, not all of us are abused, and not all of us need to learn how to swim. I can't swim, and I've had swimming lessons 3 times, and they've said to me, I can't come back. But I'm just telling you that young people need to learn how to swim. When they don't, they drown. I can also tell you that I appreciate the fact that we are spreading out public safety and spreading out the fire trucks so it doesn't take them as long to get where they need to go. That, I think, is for me. And I'm a senior citizen. I appreciate having open space to provide more oxygen and I don't want any more snakes and worms, but I do think that it's good to have more open space. So, you know, I'm concerned about those things. And Lord knows where we would be if all the dogs in Aiken were just running rampant. And the kinds of dogs that are out there now, I really don't want that. So I'm in support of what SPCA is doing. I just want you to know that some of them are specialized projects. And we put them in because we feel like somebody will benefit from them. A bridge across the highway, of what value is that to us? The loss of one life would be something that I couldn't bear if it's one of mine. And so I say, let's build it. And I think we need to look at all these projects. For too long, we have struggled with the history of not just part of Aiken, but of all of Aiken. And whatever we can do to remedy that, I think we need to do that. I don't know how many other people share the same views, but I have heard and I have been encouraged by the thoughts that have gone into some of these projects and the coalitions that have been built. I think, has been worth it. And I know the country might be broke, but it didn't just get broke. And I know that the state's having a hard time, but we're not taxing, we're not sending you in that blue and white form any additional taxes for any of these things that are on the state's page. This is going to come from those people who decide that they want to go shopping and pay that extra penny. And if they don't mind doing it, we don't mind putting it to good use. And I have heard some really good projects, and I hope that every last one of them get funded.
I agree. I think we all the projects were good. I'm not arguing that point. The point I'm making is how do we sustain the spending without getting in trouble taxing? I mean, eventually, we can't. What I'm hearing you say is that we're going to take care of all the problems, and I just don't know whether financially we can do that.
I don't know. I only know one person that could take care of all the problems in this city. Okay. And he's supreme. But I do know we need to try to do the best we can, and that's all we're trying to do here tonight, is just look at what's available, and we want to try to do as much as we possibly can. We can never solve all of the problems, because if you read your scriptures, you know it tells you that the poor are going to always be with you. And if there is to be a second coming, there are going to be problems because it's spelled out for us. But I think we need to, you know, we have to live positively and try to determine if we can't make this as good as we can make it. And I think that's all these smart people who developed all these things wanted it, is just make things better, not solve all the problems.
I agree. The only question I have is I'd like to make sure that the ones that are needed the most are the ones that helps the most people and does the most good are the ones that are funded. Thank you.
Mr. Beckham?
Yes, go ahead.
Just a minute, Jack, over here. I agree with you in terms of the importance of utilizing the taxpayers' dollar. And I think it's not a given that this is going to pass. It's passed the first two times, but we weren't in a recession the first two times. We weren't in a situation where the citizens are going to be asked to spend $250 million on a school bond. I don't know how that's going to shake up. That's going to happen between May and September. That may set the course. That may tell us how the taxpayers feel about spending money. This list, in my opinion, and I disagree with my fellow council member, should contain core needs for the city. The kinds of needs that if they weren't on this list, funded in this manner, we would still want to do. The only difference is that we would either have to issue a bond to do them or we would have to raise property tax. And we're pretty proud in this community of not having raised property tax, and we're pretty proud of not having a lot of debt. This is a truly good way of raising money for core needed projects in the community. But I agree, we need to be careful and make sure the list truly contains those projects that absolutely have to be done. And I thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Let me say one thing, too. We talk about taxes. I think our city has done a very good job, thanks to our staff and everyone that's been a part of this and our citizens, in keeping our taxes low. That's been mentioned. And the fact is we haven't had a property tax in 20 years. I think that's important. I think everybody ought to know that. Approximately, and it's hard to really get a good hold on this, 30% of the money that's would come in on a 1 cent sales tax is paid by visitors coming into our county. Everybody pays that 1 cent that shops. So it's not like it's all coming out of our pockets. It has been passed two times, though, and as Dick mentioned, it's questionable whether the public's going to pass it again. I'll tell you this: if it's not passed,
we will not have many of the things, the quality of life, and not even just quality of life, and that the infrastructure and those kinds of things that we need, we won't have that money to do a lot of that work. And we'll have no other choice but to do something as far as raising the revenue to do that. Now, I'd much prefer having a one-cent sales tax and let other people help us get that money by them shopping in our county than having to raise that property tax, you know, whatever it may be. We haven't even looked at that, don't even want to think about it. However, you know, it's just like our own budget. We run low on money. We start thinking about ways maybe we can get a part-time job or cut down and then maybe get a part-time job. You've got to have a certain amount. And the big thing is that I've heard, and it's no question we've all heard it, is that most of these projects relate to our young people. And the concern that we should have for the future, things are not getting any better. Now, we hold our own pretty well in Aiken. We're still a small community. But public safety is out there all the time. You know that. And they know most of the big criminals, and they've got their eye on them. But we need to keep supporting public safety if for no other reason. That's my first priority, because if you don't have safety in your city, then you don't need much of anything else, because you don't want to go. You don't go out. But this is very important, that I hope we can get that point across to our citizens, regardless of what happens on a bond issue that I suspect we'll have. This money is very important to the city of Aiken and to the county. And they have to approve it first, you know. They have to vote to put it on the ballot, to make it a referendum. We can't do that on our own. The city can't do that. So if they don't vote for it, then it's out. It's off anyway. So, and these projects, I think all of them are important. That doesn't mean all of them will be funded, or even funded at the top level. And Mr. Beckham, you asked the question: how do we determine what we're going to fund? And I can only speak for myself, and I think it's true with everybody up here. We have to look at all these projects, take all this into consideration, what we've heard, put our own thoughts into it, and what it's going to go for, and then make the best decisions we can on a priority basis, I would say. You know, I made some notes up here that I've used some H's and some M's for medium, H's for high, and I might change my mind somewhere else. But just in talking, you know, I've started thinking about this, because we're going to have to vote on this probably on the 22nd, depending on what else happens in the meantime. And then we'll just see how it comes out. We each will have our own lists, and I assume we might vote on each. We'll probably vote on each item separately. I think that would be a fair way to do it. Then everybody gets their say-so on every item. I don't know if that answers all your questions between Beverly and Dick and anybody else that might want to speak. But we do enjoy you being here most every meeting. And I hope you know that we try to do the best job we can to use the tax dollars the best we can. And as we already said earlier in the meeting, you know, we've got the second lowest water rates of 32 cities in South Carolina. We've got the third lowest sewer rates. No property taxes in 20 years. High bond ratings. So, you know, if we wanted to go out and borrow money, we could do it at a somewhat lower percentage than many, many other cities. We don't have any general fund debt. Most cities have general fund debt. Many of them have lots of general fund debt. We don't have any general fund debt. So I think we've had a pretty good track record, you know, over the years, thanks again to our great staff we have and our finance folks, and then council understanding everything about it and voting. That's about all I'll say. We appreciate very much everyone being here and making your presentations and that kind of thing. Yes, ma'am.
I have one comment to make, or two. One of the things that this city has been very good at is planning for its future. When I look at the things we've done to attract people here, many of them on council, if it were not for the fortitude of folks that sat in these chairs that we're occupying right now, planning. I remember very well the opposition we had when we expanded Odell Weeks and the tennis courts, and folks thought that we had too many tennis courts making that available. There were a lot of opposition there. I remember Citizens Park as we planned for that, and folks thought that we were investing too much in that area. But all these things have been healthy and has caused people to want to come to Aiken and locate here. And we pride ourselves for making those decisions, even though there were a lot of opposition to that. The mayor indicated that county council makes a decision. But on March 22nd in these chambers, we will vote on which projects will be sent to the county for funding. So these same items that you're hearing tonight will be voted on by us, will be considered by us, to forward on to county council for consideration. Some may make the list, and all may make the list, but I invite you back here to come to see what the voting is and how this procedure works to be forwarded on to county council.
Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead.
I wish I'd spoken before that last presentation. My name is Phil England. I'm a member of the board of the Cumbie Center to Assist Abused Persons. I've been associated with the board and volunteering efforts for about 15 years, so I know the agency well. Gloria Pierce and Kay Mixon made an excellent presentation. I think much of what you've heard before. But I'd like to emphasize a feature that perhaps was not delved into greatly, and that is the positive financial benefits that the Cumbie Center offers to the city government, to the school board, and to the county government, and state for that matter. So far as the city is concerned, over a third of our clients at the Cumbie Center are city residents. The rest are in the county and North Augusta and some of the smaller towns, but a substantial number. We have incidentally found the Aiken government and its staff, particularly public service, be a wonderful help to us when we have a problem at the shelters. You normally can expect a police car there in 1 to 1.5 minutes. I want to thank you for that. What the Cumbie Center can offer specifically is an opportunity to break the cycle of abuse, which results in the horror stories you've heard. And I'll tell you one bad one, because it's the worst I've ever heard, and it was a recent one. The police arrested a man who had raped his wife and 3 children in front of the entire family. Cumbie Center helped that wife, and we provide funding for her, and she now, I'm sorry to say, happened in Baltimore rather than in Aiken. I'd like to have her back. That's typical of the cases we see, and those cases require an awful lot of public help. When there's domestic and sexual abuse in the family, which is now number one crime in South Carolina, the children are affected at a very young age to an older age. Almost without fail, children who are abused by their parents in turn abuse their own children. It's a cycle of violence which is vicious, and we're trying to make our best efforts to stop that and to interrupt that cycle. We have strong programs of preventive education with the school boards and with the 2 universities. We work closely with many churches for the same purpose. By reducing the amount of domestic violence and sexual assault that this city and the rest of the county experiences, who can now and more in the future reduce the cost of governmental services for those clients. It would place a much lesser load on the police, on emergency medical services, on the hospital, and certainly on the school board. These same children act out in schools, as the teachers can, I think, verify. And that's why we're asking for more money. We need more space for more counselors. We have only what amounts to 3 counselors now. We need 20 counselors. We can't even find a place to stick their desk. And we really do need some help, and we would appreciate your consideration. If there are any questions I can answer, I'd be glad to do so.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Anyone else want to speak?
Okay. Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Reggie, go ahead.
Yes, same subject around this, but it's a be sure I have an understanding of Mr. Moore's memorandum in relation to being sure that all of these projects fit the local option sales tax. And my main question is, I guess, to Mr. Ledoux, are we setting a precedent by doing any of these projects with this type of funding versus anybody else in the state, or is this a pretty common practice? And I've read Mr. Moore's memo. And if the answer is for a later meeting, that'd be fine, too.
I'm not too sure about the rest of the state. I could say that in the last round of funding, the USC Aiken project that the city funded, which was $745,000 to help with the construction of the convocation center, would be very similar to what we're doing with the bridge. And so that, you know, we have that basics. The county funded the Child Advocacy Center, and I can't remember the exact amount, but it was a substantial amount to help with construction of that facility. So I do know that the county has been involved in that one end of helping a nonprofit public good project, and then the city was involved with the USC Aiken. Ben Moore is here tonight. If you would like, he could go ahead and step to the podium and answer any questions concerning his memo or his opinion of it as far as the use of these funds.
My only question to him would be, has he looked at maybe some of the other major cities that have done this? And
he has not.
I think that would be wise to do, and the reason I say that, we don't want to be the first one to step out and do a number of these, and then a few years from now, somebody says, well, why are you doing them? And so I think it would be good if he could just check a couple of cities and maybe at the March 22nd meeting comment on that, please.
Sure.
I'm not so much worried about the cities as the relevance for the existing cases. I think you're aware, Roger, that there's been a question as to whether or not these cases relate to these kinds of projects. So I too have a concern about, again, my understanding of the law is that we can only fund public projects, not private. And the 4 criteria that were listed in the case, I think it'd be nice if Ben or even Gary could weigh in on it.
I wasn't going to address Mr. Moore's memo. He did the research for that memo. What I was going to address more Mr. Ebner's question. If you look at the state statute that says what projects can be funded with this tax, there's not one case that's gone up to the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals in the state of South Carolina yet where the funding of a project has been challenged so that the Supreme Court can give us some guidance as to what, you know, if there's a project on this list that's not appropriate. The Supreme Court and Court of Appeals have not had a case come to them that gives us the guidance we want to see, other than the cases that Ben referred to in his memo.
Well, that's what I was looking for. Be sure we don't have a precedent that we wind up at the Supreme Court. I sure don't want to go there and spend our tax dollars for that. Thank you.
Would you like Ben to address some of those comments?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Smith, excuse me, is correct that this particular statute, it was originally enacted in 97, last amended last year, but there has been no case, appellate case on record,
concerning this specific statute. The cases that I refer to dealt with what the courts have considered public funding or a public purpose in general, because there isn't any interpreting this specific statute. So that was really the where I'd look for guidance was more of the general case law.
Okay, thank you.
There was an additional project tonight, and I'd like for you to do to it what you did to the others that were before us to make sure that it...
Okay, I can do that. Okay. I'd rather do it as an update in writing.
Right, that would be fine if you would just update this memo before the 22nd.
Okay.
Thank you.
Which projects? I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
Ben, in your study, research, did you find other cities that are doing a similar thing that we're doing? Not court cases that have gone up, but other cities like Columbia or some of the bigger cities, perhaps, that are doing?
I have not, and that really my research was more purely legal. What if
the
court said? I've talked to the county a little bit about their approach, but that's the only other political subdivision I've talked to.
I think it's an excellent point that's been raised that we really do need to check out.
And to my knowledge, there's only a few other places in the state that are using the capital project tax funding for this type of thing.
And Mayor, I would just add, just because another city's doing it doesn't mean it's right. legally acceptable.
Right. That's why it's good to take it further and check it out. Okay.
And just one final point. As I understood your last comment, you're not saying that in your legal judgment all of these projects qualify for local option sales tax funding.
Basically, the ones I did review before, I thought did.
For local
did
option
qualify.
Sales tax funding.
I was not asked to review the Cumbie Center specifically, so I haven't reviewed that one. But the others I did look in the context.
Let me just ask you specifically, the YMCA. I mean, the YMCA is a private public organization. If they build a swimming pool, they're going to charge a fee to get into it. Now, they can provide scholarships for some children, but there's still going to be a fee to get into it. So not all of the citizens whose taxpayer money would be used to fund that project would be able to use it. How does that qualify as a completely public project?
Well, it would be open to the public, and just as if the city theoretically opened a pool, the city could charge an admission and it would still be a public, that would be a policy decision.
But it would be the city doing it.
It would be the city doing it, but it's still open to the public. And if you look at the statute we're dealing with specifically here, it talks specifically about recreational facilities under A1 subsection C.
I don't have that.
Provide you with a copy of that. But recreational facilities are specifically in this specific statute.
My question might be, though, there's probably a little difference between a city-owned recreational center and the YMCA.
Yes, sir.
I mean, how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, basically, this series of case law that I researched talked about when public money goes to private entities, it can go to a private entity like YMCA if it's used for a public purpose. So really the test is this recreational pool a public purpose? As long as it is, the fact that it's a private facility really doesn't matter legally if it's used for a public purpose.
Well, let me give you a what if. Let's say we do contribute. I'm going to pick on a Y, for instance. Well, what if we do contribute? I mean, do we have some sort of equity? What if, for instance, the Y goes out of business? I know they've been around since, Lord knows, but... What if the Y closes down? What happens to the facility that's being built along Tool Hill? What recourse do we have to try to recapture our monies, or do we take possession of the building, or do we take possession of our $1 million worth of building. How do you resolve that?
Right now, just off the cuff, I couldn't give you an answer. I mean, obviously, we would be donating the money for them to build the pool. In this instance, the pool would be built, but once it would be their pool, so some, you know, opportunity to repossess the pool may be difficult. But I really, without researching it, can't give you anything more than that.
Any other questions?
I'm a direct person, so I'm going to put it all on the table here. Item five, the center, because I think a lot of this, we're skirting around the issue of what you've addressed as a legal finding with your, because that's the only one that you quote with your legal investigation in the document. Can you explain that in terms of the cases that's been held?
Item number, the
You've not seen. Mm-hmm.
But it would be the African American Cultural Center. The statute specifically talks about, and this is the Capital Project Sales Tax Act that we're working under for these specific projects. Under subsection C, it specifically provides for cultural and historical facilities. And clearly that's what this center would be. You know, the follow-up questions would be similar to the why. Well, the city doesn't own it and so forth. But really it's just as the why it would be a recreational facility, this would be a historical cultural facility. I don't see how you could say it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Let me ask you just two questions. The Sumter case, I understand, related to a bond issue, which indicated that no tax money was involved. And the other issue with the Sumter case had to do with redevelopment of blighted urban areas, neither of which seems to be the case here.
Well, basically, I did go back and research this after this issue was raised, and what the South Carolina Supreme Court has done, they did it back in 1885 in a case involving the city of Charleston. But what they did is said to political subdivisions, we're going to hold you to the public purpose doctrine, the same public purpose doctrine we require for tax money to municipal bonds or indebtedness. They're going to, basically, it's equivalent to taxation. So they extended the same public purpose doctrine that the memo's about. They extended it to bond issues and said, we're going to hold those as equivalent to taxes. And I also have an attorney general's opinion that I can share with you, but they say state constitution requires that taxes, public funds, be spent for public purposes. So they're clearly applying the same doctrine to both, and basically have said municipal bonds are taxes, because how do you pay municipal bonds back with the people's tax money?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the same standard. There's not two.
Well, it's just
standards.
A question of which is private and which is public, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're both considered. Yeah.
Okay.
But they'd be under the same analysis as tax funds and municipal bonds, be the same public purpose analysis.
Yeah, but the basic question is, can you use tax money for private projects, and are any of the five in any of our judgment private projects or public projects? Not that they do the public good.
Right.
You know, there are all kinds of private projects that do wonders for the public, but
right.
To comply with the law, are they private projects or public projects?
I consider them public under the view that the South Carolina Supreme Court, from the tests that they've given in similar cases, I know individuals in the room could disagree, what do you think a public purpose is? But
sure.
And my job's not really my opinion, but what's the court saying? And the court's taking an increasingly broad view of what a public purpose is, and they walk you through that four-part Nichols test to decide it. The trend is to broaden it, and if you look at the statute, it's much broader than statutes in the past.
Thank you.
Okay.
I do have one question for Mr. McConnell about the family Y.
Danny.
It's my understanding that you are only asking us to build the pool. You are building the Y. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I look at the location of the teen center and the pool, and there are a couple of buildings in between the two. Just listening to what Mr. Homolke asked about what happens if you go under, which is, I don't know that there's a precedence for that for a YMCA, but if it should happen, and I know anything is possible, what happens? We have two projects that are in your building.
Well, there's a lot of what-ifs. I can tell you that we've been operating in this area for 152 years.
Yeah, it's good enough.
So it is a possibility, and if there is concern in that regard that you would need to be able to recoup those funds in some way, is your question, is there a way that we could separate those buildings where you could somehow have ownership in that pool? Is that the question?
I don't know if that needs to be the question, but I was just making you aware. Well, you know, because you've already broken ground and you know where you're building, how your building's going to be built. But I guess I'm looking for a clear answer to what we can say to Mr. Homolke or anybody else that has that same concern to what might happen. And then there's the issue of cost, admission fees. And I take it that this main building is probably where you would go first?
I think that is a legitimate question. You know, with each of the things we're being asked funds for tonight, I'm sure there's fees involved with each of those services to be delivered. That's the way the Y works. We raise our own money through the fees that we charge. But we are very much a entity that serves everyone. All you have to do is walk into one of our buildings and you see that. And that goes across not just racial, but the people that can't afford the services we talked about before that we make sure they get in. So I see ourselves and always have. I wouldn't be in this business, but I didn't feel like we were serving all people. And those funds will be important to operate that facility, but they will not be a roadblock for someone. So.
If I could address that issue, you know, those really nice baseball fields we have out at Citizens Park, you don't get to play on them unless you pay the city the fee that that Parks and Recreation charges you to play baseball. So, it's, you know, they don't have free, our citizens don't have free access to the baseball fields. And on the, as far as the, you're talking like a mortgage interest in the pool, I'm not sure, the only way I know how to answer the question is, you know, the city's not really giving the money to the Y. The money's being raised through a sales tax that is paid directly to the state of South Carolina. It's paid because the county, if the county passes the referendum, the county says we're adopting this 1 cent sales tax. But, you know, the money doesn't come out of the city's coffers. The money goes to the state, and then the state sends the money to the Y. And I don't mean they may, it actually comes to the city first before it's written, but it doesn't come out of the city's, you know, the city's told how to spend that money. But that money is really a conglomeration of, you know, thousands of different purchases. I guess each one of those guys actually has a mortgage interest in the YMCA if you wanted to look at it that way, but it's not really money coming out of the city's coffers.
But the only difference that I see on that, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying is, but if all of a sudden we decide to take the baseball fields and what have you out of Citizens Park, it's still our property. I mean, we let's say we make it a polo field or whatever. It's still our property, but we don't have any equity interest in the Y or the pool or anything. I mean, I don't want to I don't want to continue this discussion, but it's sure. something to think about. bringing up Mr. Dewar's point about what is a private use and what is a public use, even though it's for the public benefit, but it's not necessarily really a public use.
I believe our history minimizes that risk for you. Okay. I think our history minimizes the risk back to the city for that.
So what I think I'm hearing is there's concern that if we fund something with the 1 cent sales tax, that we should have mortgage interest on whatever you have or the Center for the Advocacy Center or the Center for Abuse, whoever's making the request, we ought to have mortgage interest in those buildings. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think so. Basically, who owns the deed to the African American Historical Arts Center right now?
Presently, the Aiken Corporation went on the deed because it is a 501c3 fiduciary agent for the cultural center. And I would suspect that all of the regulations that govern public monies to the 501c3 tax code would, and this is very specific things that the code suggests about what happens if you dissolve your 501c3, it must go to another non-profit 501c3. It cannot go to a for-profit.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I had one up too.
So, which would hopefully be for the public good as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, can we leave in that? So that Ben is going to do some more research so that we can make a little bit more sure what the status is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. I have some notes on my sheet today.
Yeah.
Does they also have a direction?
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Slide to your left. There we go.
Before we leave council, why don't we talk, if you want to talk a little bit about the next meeting. We need to consider, not this meeting, but we need to consider a representative that we collectively have to choose to be our person on the county's board, that committee that actually will determine for sure what's on the 1 cent sales tax list. The city gets one person. Now, in the past, they've accepted what the city sends, but it is a committee that sits down and looks at all the projects for the county, and they approve that list. And
Wade Brody has ably served in the past, and I'd like his name to be placed in consideration for service on that.
Well, we would just be thinking about that, yeah. and we'll come back and talk about it.
You were looking for names here.
Oh, no, I'm not okay. Not looking for names. I think we just better think about it. Now, if you want to talk about names, go ahead. But we've got to vote on it, obviously, and I'm assuming at this point it would be on the 22nd.
It would be on the 8th.
The 8th for that?
Yeah. Yes.
Why would we have to vote on the 8th?
Because County Council said that they would like to possibly vote on it on March 14th. In other words, they want to have the names from all the different entities so they could vote on it.
Okay. Are they talking about voting on whether or not to put the resolution on the ballot?
They're talking about selecting these individuals. Again, the process is a 6-member committee is selected by County Council. They're saying that if the city of Aiken would like to name a person, we're open to that. They'll take the names that are submitted, they'll make up a committee, that committee will meet, look at all the projects, decide what projects should be on this list, and give it back to the county, and then the county will select the date as to when the referendum would be held.
Okay. So if they need,
they have given me a memo, an email last week saying, can we get the person so that this could be on the agenda for the 14th? There's a possibility they may not vote on the 14th, but the next date would be in April, but they would like to see it on the agenda for their March. It must not be the 15th, the 14th, because that's a Sunday, so I would say the 16th is, I think, their next date.
Okay, at any rate, it's before I...
Before the 22nd.
So that, okay, that's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of frustrating in a way, because whoever selected, and I'm sure it would not be a problem, but whoever selected needs to accept our list and yes, defend it and so yes, forth. So, mm-hmm, and we're essentially being asked by the county to give our committee member name before we even know what's on our list. So, the hurry is.
I hope we don't free limits. I hope the individual designated to represent us will represent our joint, our ideas. So, we don't need anybody to go freelancing with the county.
Yeah, hopefully that would never be the case. Okay. Yeah, but it's
surely that would.
I mean, we're being asked to designate our representative before we finalize our list.
Yeah. I think, let me just say that the people that we have selected in the past have served with integrity, so express our views.
I meant no aspersions on anybody who's served in the past. No way. I know both names. They've both done a wonderful job.
Right.
Okay.
No aspersions.
Right. If no one else wants to speak, no one. Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Obviously, there's an awful lot of questions as to what's going to be on the list, what's not going to be on the list, how much for these areas. It's a lot of work that council will have to go ahead and look at on the 22nd. I'm not too sure what some of the other agenda items will be on that date. If you find that on the 22nd, after going through this list, and if you're still struggling on where and what to do, you could always carry it over, and I'm just throwing this out to you, that you could always carry it over till the following Monday. We have 5 Mondays in the month. Not looking to add an extra date, but if on the 22nd you find yourself still struggling with the final list, then you could either go ahead and vote on it, carry it over. In the past, we have not gone line item by line item, but council has generally said this is the list we're going to have and approved it. But again, council could go ahead and look at it any way you want to when we do the final vote on it. I will try to give you a list of the next meeting. I'll even try to put some of these in order of priority. I will tell you, though, that since their council has not given me any direction, that the YMCA, the Youth Center, the SPCA, the African American History Art and Cultural Center, the USCA and Pedestrian Bridge and Cumbie Center will not be on that list on the projects that I'll be prioritizing. Then council could go ahead and decide which of you may want to select all of them, but which items you want and then where you would like to see those placed. Okay. Unless you want to give me some further direction tonight.
Sounds fine.
Will this list be available to us as well, the public, before the 22nd? The agenda goes out, which would be whatever day that is, before the 22nd.
Right. It'll be ready on that Thursday.
That Thursday before the 22nd?
Correct.
Okay. And not before?
I mean, it could be ready a few days before. We're right now also doing budgeting and some other things. So,
thank you.
But at the very latest, it'll be ready on the 18th of March.
And that'd be the agenda goes out to the public. Thank you.
One quick question with the budget. When do we have our first meeting with the budget?
I was going to put that in the next agenda, that we generally hold the first meeting in May, or the first Monday in May is the budget meeting, which is May 3rd. We would just need to select a time. Sometimes we meet in the middle of the afternoon. Sometimes we meet later. But in the past several years, we've met around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to consider at this point how we will go about selecting the items on the 22nd?
How have you done it in the past? How have you done it in the past? We got three veterans.
As Roger mentioned, in the past, my experience has been that We pretty much agree to what's there. Now, that doesn't mean we don't talk about things.
Sure.
Maybe change a number. It may not be a million. It might be something else, or it might want to raise something there.